problem.
Blog Talk Radio.
Leaving in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chang.
Is it me, man? Is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room, and if you look on there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Leaving in the Ring radio show. I'm David Chin, and I'll be your switchboard operator tonight. I already see our co-hosts, 97 Rupp and 916 Chris. How are you guys doing?
I'm chilling. Sounds like, who else is on, Rupp or Blood?
It's Blood.
Blood should be on, too. There you go.
I was going to say, you have your phone on mute again?
No, I have my phone on mute. Hello?
Yeah, what's up,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, my bad, guys. I got some problem over here on the switchboard, but what's going on, everybody?
What's
you been
good?
How's that new job working out? Let everybody know.
Hey, man, it's all good, baby. You know, getting money. That's all that counts.
You know, everybody tuning in right now, tonight we're having a few special guests on. We're having promoter Brian O'Shea on. He's promoting the event. He's going to have a few of the fighters to come on to talk with us. And also, we got special guest Joshua Clady on coming up later. So, you know, make sure you guys tune in for a chance to listen to him and what he has to say. Now, Chris, you know, big news in MMA. MMA doing it big. They're, I think they're going on prime time, right?
Yeah, I've been so busy today. I haven't really got to look at anything, in all honesty. But, I did catch real quick that, Fedor is going to fight Brad Rogers on CBS in October. You know, I mean, they were on there last year, you know, with a different company, but anytime they get on the mainstream, I mean, I don't think it's like any sign that, you know, MMA is overtaking boxing, but, you know, it is kind of a big thing to get it on primetime television, which is something boxing hasn't done in a long time.
Now, how do they manage that? Because, I mean, they seem like they just went ahead and did it. Is it just a matter of getting the money together, or do they have some special deal with CBS? You know, how come boxing haven't done it?
What it has to do with is the parent company of Showtime is also the parent company of CBS. So, you know, they're all working under the same umbrella. So they kind of got an inroads to it. So they're just like, you know, we're going to throw this on here. They don't really have to pay for it or anything. You know, it's all owned by the same big old company. So, unfortunately, boxing doesn't have anything like that. You know, boxing's all promoters where Strikeforce is a company that basically Showtime has a financial stake in.
So when is it going to take, how long is it going to take before Bob Arum does something like this, man, or any of those guys, you know what I mean?
Man, I don't know. Remember, I don't know if you guys recall, but a few years ago, they were showing fights on NBC in Saturday afternoons. They had, like, Francisco Bajardo and Juan Diaz. I think it was kind of a test run. And I would watch those fights. They had some pretty good fights on, but apparently enough people, I don't know, man, early Saturday afternoon, it's kind of a horrible time to try to get people to watch boxing, but apparently, you know, it wasn't successful enough that they decided to really go with the full force. I don't know what Blood's opinion is, but I don't know, man. I don't know when we're going to see boxing on network television anytime soon.
Well, I think that's what we need right now. We need to see boxing on network television because, you know, this sport has been around forever, and people continue to disrespect boxing and not giving no airtime, but they want to air people playing cards and stuff like that. Man, don't nobody want to see that, man. How many people out there want to see poker rather than boxing? Let's be for real. They got swimming on, kickball, all kind of sports. Man, we want to see some boxing on TV. I don't care what channel pick it up. Whoever pick it up, They a real brave heart. That's what I got to say, though.
You know what? You know what, Blood? I see more soccer on ESPN now than I do boxing, and I thought we don't even like soccer in this country. But whatever. I think we got Strikehearth on the line. Strikehearth, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
And also, we got a caller from the area code 787.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on, Rob?
Ready to drink that pee?
Oh, man, dude, I'm eating. What the hell?
Yeah, don't forget.
You know, Blood was talking to me today, and he's saying he's making sure he's paying attention to what he eats and drinks because he has read that it affects the flavor that comes out. You know, just in case, you got to do it.
Man.
I don't want
That's going to be Riddler. That's going to be Riddler drinking the urine.
Yeah, man. It is what it is. I'm ready.
Yep.
So
we're rough at tonight, y'all. He ain't in the house.
Rough, you on, brother? Yeah, I don't know, man. He's supposed to be calling in from the road, and I'm not sure what number he's going to be using. You see what I mean? So until I see him, you know, when I see a number pop up, I'm just going to let him on. But how many of you guys saw the Showtime fights this past weekend with Andre Ward and Mikko Kessler in their respective fights?
I saw him.
Yeah, I saw him too.
Yep.
I gotta apologize to everybody for ruining the results.
Yeah, thanks a lot, bro, for the spoiler. What was that about?
Where do you even find this stuff in Denmark, isn't it?
Yeah, I posted the fight up too early.
Regardless, Chris, what do you think about – I mean, Andre Ward looked like he always looked. You know, we wanted to see Kessler because we haven't seen him in a while. How do you think Kessler looked?
I think Kessler looked good. Unfortunately, I don't know who his opponent was. I thought the guy was going to get destroyed. The guy looked like he had some ability. Explain to me how that guy's the number one mandatory, though. I've never even heard of the guy. It wasn't like he had a stellar record, so I don't understand who's a mandatory. But, no, once Kessler shook off a little leg rust and got into groove, he pretty much took that kid apart. And I'm glad that Ward fought on that card too, you know, because it definitely gives us anyone that watched that show, you can kind of analyze both the guys and see things that you could each other could have strength and advantages, you know, going into that fight. But based on what I saw from both guys, I mean, you could easily make a case for both guys to win the fight, but I'm going to go with Kessler when it comes down to it just because aside from the experience factor and all, and he's beating a lot better guys, he just punches straighter, you know what I'm saying? He has a better jab, and he punches down the pipe, whereas Ward throws a lot of hooks. And, you know, shortest distance to a point is a straight line, so that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have an idea about how this fight might play out, but I want to hear Strikehearth's opinion on how both Andre Ward and Mikko Kessler looked this weekend.
Well, Andre Ward, like you said, he looked fabulous, as he always does. The question, as you said, Mikko Kessler, how would he be after 11 months away? And I actually did speak to them on a teleconference a couple hours ago, and I have the audio if you guys want to hear it at some point. I won't play the whole conference, but there's about a five-minute portion where I'm asking them questions. But let me get back to how I thought Miguel looked, or Mikael, rather. I thought he looked pretty good. He actually he looked like he needed a chance to figure him out for a couple rounds, and then after he got that out of the way, he became more aggressive and put him down with that shoulder punch. That was a little weird. And then in the fourth round, he unloaded a flurry. Now, I don't know if anybody else thinks that the stoppage was a little bit early, but even though it was a little bit early, it looked like it was only about 5 seconds too early. Because after the fight, you could see that he was pretty dazed and he didn't really seem to know where he was. But it might have been a couple seconds too early for the stoppage.
Okay, Blood, before I go on, Blood, did you see these fights?
Yes, I did, sir.
What did you think about them, man?
Man, I just can't wait to, you know, a nice little warm-up for both guys. Can't wait to see these two do it. At first I was thinking Kessler might win, but I think I'm going to go with Andre Ward to win the fight when they do finally get together.
What did you see that made you think that?
I don't know, man. I just got that feeling. I mean, we didn't really see much in that fight, really. I mean, I just have a feeling he's going to outbox Kessler and he's going to take a decision.
Okay.
You know?
Do you think that he'll be able to do you think that he'll be able to figure out the jab of Miguel Kessler, though?
Andre Ward is a whole different monster, man. You know what I'm saying? I think he'll be able to figure it out. I think he has the natural talent to do it, to deal with it. And I'm definitely going to go with Ward to take it. Unanimous decision.
Okay, I'm going to say this real quick about Miguel Kessler. He is a very solid fighter. He's very good. But the good thing about this tournament is that it's a matchup. It's a round robin, so it's all about matchup. And the thing with Kessler is I saw plenty in the Perdomo fight. In fact, my problem with Kessler right now is he should have got that guy out of there earlier. And what I mean by that is my biggest problem with Kessler is always that his two hands have to work together. He's not a very versatile guy. And what I mean by that is his right hand depends on his left hand every time. He can't just throw the right hand. He needs a 1-2, for example. So he needs to get his jab working to win. Now, you might think, how does Kessler lose a fight? We only have one fight to refer to, and that's Joe Calzaghe. And Joe Calzaghe, you can argue, was losing the first half of that fight, but then made an adjustment and beat Kessler down the second half. And what did he do? He took away Kessler's jab, and he fought him with the rhythm from the outside, right? Now, that's because Kessler wasn't doing the game plan to fight a southpaw, because, like I said, he can't separate his two hands. When you take away his jab, it's like taking away his right hand as well. And you saw that against Perdomo. He had to get his jab working to land his right hand. That meant for three rounds, his right hand wasn't really connecting. Now, if he can get that right hand working, he would have landed that knockout punch or that stunning punch a lot more easier, a lot sooner too. And, you know, for him to fight somebody like Andre Ward, who can switch to southpaw and fight on the outside and make it hard for you to get your punches in order, that could, you know, I can easily see Miguel Kessler just getting out-hustled. You know, he's not going to get hurt, but he can easily get out-hustled in that matchup. What do you think, Strikeheart?
I think you nailed it down. If you can take away his jab, then he is at a big disadvantage. He does need to use that jab in order to set everything else he does. His jab is really straight, and it actually looks like it has some pop in it too. But if you can manage to take that away, like you said, Joe Calzaghe was able to figure that out and did control the second half of that fight completely. So, yeah, the jab is the key. If Andre Ward can take that out, it'll be much easier to see him winning the fight. On the other hand, if Kessler can control distance and work off that jab, I think that that Andre Ward might actually have to get inside a little bit to win the fight, because Kessler isn't going to really want that. He can throw shorter punches if he needs to, but I think comfortable place for him is to be on the outside. So if you're going to make him uncomfortable, I think you're going to have to get in there, get out, box, go back in again. So that's my analysis. I do think Kessler will probably win the fight, mostly due to the experience that he has. He has a lot more experience than Ward. I did pick Ward to beat Miranda, but this is a whole nother monster. And I don't really know that Andre Ward has really fought somebody with that European upright style fighting. So hopefully he has a lot of guys coming in and sparring with him that fight like that, because he'll need that.
Now, I have a question about Andre Ward. A lot of people are saying, well, this is a fight. This fight is hard to call. Maybe we'll give Kessler the edge because he's a proven veteran at super middleweight. That's all well and good. But my question would be, is Andre Ward actually a beginner, where, you know, that people make him out to be? He's only had 20 fights, of course. He's undefeated and so on and so forth. But is he really a beginner? Because you have to really look at his fights instead of just looking at his really thin record. This guy has obviously Olympic pedigree, amateur experience. And if you look at his fights, this guy's got some moves on him. He's got real good boxing fundamentals. He has, in fact, right now I can think of more ways Andre Ward can hit people than Miguel Kessler can. What do you think about that idea, Chris?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I do think Ward's a little more diverse in his game. I think he's got more tools to work with, but the guy, I don't know, man, he just, no disrespect to him, but who is he really beating? You know, he beat Miranda, but Miranda, you know, he's past his prime. You know, he's kind of done. He kind of got taken out of him by Abraham and Pavlik. And you know, and he beat Hanshaw, I believe, or I don't even know. I don't think he beat Hanshaw, but he just hasn't really beaten anybody. He doesn't have that top-shelf experience yet, you know. Kessler's beaten a couple guys like Beyer and Mundine, you know, and he hung in there with Calzaghe the first few rounds of that fight. I actually thought he was winning. You know,
yeah.
I'm just going with the experience, you know, and pedigree at this point. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if Ward wins, but until I've seen him, you know, prove it in there, I'm just a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, but Ward is, he had over 90 amateur bouts, man. You know, so he's been around for a while, for a little minute now. So I think he's just one of those guys who's just taking it to that next level now. And
well, go ahead. Let me finish. Sorry, man. Let me cut you off.
You know, I just think he's at this time, he's taking it to the next level. He had a whole bunch of amateur fights. And, you know, I just think that Kessler is going to be the guy who's going to be a stepping stone to make it to that next level.
Yeah, one more thing. I mean, I forgot to mention, man. It was like one of his first two fights or whatever. But Ward actually got dropped, I believe, by some no-namer in like his first or second fight on Fox Sports or whatever. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously he hasn't really fought anyone aside from Miranda with that firepower yet. But I don't know. His chin, I'm not saying it's questionable, but I need to see that tested as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David Chen, I don't know if you'd like to hear that audio from the few questions that I asked both of them, but it's about 5 minutes long if you'd like me to play that. I certainly
could.
Yeah,
man, give it to us.
All right, give me a second to set it up, and then I'll play it for you.
As Strikehurst is doing that, I'll address what Chris just said. I mean, it's true. Obviously, if you compare the records, there is no reason to think, based on who Andre Ward has beaten, that he would necessarily give Kessler a hard time. But my only thing, my only concern with this fight, the reason why I'm not just saying Kessler will win this hands down, is that Andre Ward does dominate his opponent, right? It wasn't that he kind of beat Edison Miranda, it's he completely stripped him down. So based on that, you know, Andre Ward seems like that guy who has the ability and is just waiting to prove himself, as opposed to some other guys who might have a bad record simply because they kind of are just, you know, trucking along without being special. Whereas I think Andre Ward can actually show us more than he has proven. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's his coming out party. You know, like I said, I'm not doubting the guy. I mean, obviously, the dude's got the pedigree. Like Blood said, he's got the ability. But I don't know. It's hard to doubt a guy that, you know, that's already kind of been there, done that. You know, Kessler was almost a unified champion at that division before. The guy, you know, he's proved it in the ring already to me for the most part, you know, and once Ward does, you know, if he does, then obviously I'll be proven wrong, you know, but until then I'm just going to roll with the safe bet. Let's just say that.
So all right. If you had to pick one, it would be Kessler.
Yep, that's where my money would go if I was putting money on it.
All right, Strikehurst, go for it.
All right, just to warn y'all, my voice is going to sound a little bit different or louder than the other guys, so hopefully you hear it well. I had it on speakerphone, so here goes.
Do we have a next question?
We have Justin Fort with Leave It in the Ring.
Yes. My first question is for Mikel. Do you have a sense, a lot of people over here in the States don't really respect the European-style upright fighting. Do you have a sense of that, and what's your take on that?
No, I don't think so. I've trained a lot in the States also. I don't know if people say that the European fighters are not so good as the American fighting style. Then it's, I would say they're wrong. But of course, yeah, that's it.
Well, let me rephrase it a little bit. Sometimes they just get a little bit confused as to why you guys seem to be a little bit slower, work off your jab, mainly concerned with controlling distance rather than using, like, body movement. Do you think that people may be just misunderstanding the way some of you European guys fight, or is that a valid criticism?
I would say they misunderstand it totally, because I fought a lot of guys like Ward and a lot of more complicated American style guys, and it's my favorite instead of fighting a European guy. But it depends of the fighter you are, of course, and so on, and what their fighting style is, and of course.
My other question for you, Mikel, is a lot of people view the matchups in the first round as the most difficult matchup for each guy. Is that how you feel, or do you feel there's another opponent in the tournament that might pose a bigger problem for you?
No, I would say definitely that Ward is the biggest problem here. He's undefeated. mindset that I'm the best, and I'm going to be the best at fighting Ward in his hometown. That's for sure.
Thanks for your time. Andre, my question for you first. What do you say to people that say people like Lucien Boutte, Lebrado Andrade, Alan Green deserve to be in the tournament more than you and Andre Durrell?
Well, that's their opinion. Everybody's entitled to it. That's pretty much as far as I can go with that. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, I've shown myself to be worthy. I think that, you know, with my last fight, you know, a lot of people didn't think I would win that fight. So I definitely think that I'm no longer a prospect. I'm a contender. So, and soon to be world champion. So I definitely believe I'm you know, deserve to be in this. There's only so many slots, but I can't really speak on anybody else.
Do you maybe
think? Number one in PBO, WBC, Olympic gold medalist. So Andre said it best. You really don't have a response to those guys. They'll have their opportunity, but this is through.
Okay.
It's just kind of, I'm sorry, can I just add something? It's kind of sound like Michael Kessler's promoter. Andrade got a 12-round beatdown from Michael. That was, the best way to describe it was savage. Andrade went and virtually knocked out Boutte with the last punch of the fight, and it was the bell and the ropes that saved him. Alan Green has not won an Olympic gold medal. So on that basis, this is the best you're going to get. This is the best.
Okay, fair enough. My other question for Andre Ward is the same question I had for Miguel. Do you think this is your toughest matchup? And if not, who is?
In the Super Six?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, right now I can't even really think about anybody else. It's hard to, you know, I can't even. I mean, everybody in the tournament is skilled. Everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaknesses. But you know, right now this is what's in front of me. This is all I see right now. So I can't even stretch my brain and think about me being matched up with anybody else right now. It's just about this fight. It's all about this fight. Mentally, for the next 10 weeks, 9 weeks, this is what it's about, and this is who it's about, Miguel Kessler.
Do you want to speak on a strategy you might be thinking over at this time? Do you plan on fighting him on the inside, on the outside?
Well, to sum it up, I mean, if you've seen any of my fights, you can see that, you know, like my grandfather said today in the press conference, when you've seen, you know, all 20 of my fights, you've seen a different fighter each time. And, you know, that being said, I'm going to continue to be Andre Ward, and I'm just going to step it up several notches in this fight, November 21st.
All right, well, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so that was the conference call today.
That's some good stuff, and you had some really good questions. Now, before we address what was said, I see some numbers lighting up on our switchboard, and I want to make sure we don't miss our guest. I see a caller from the area code 914. Caller, you on the air?
How you doing? This is Brian O'Shea, the promoter for O'Shea Brothers Boxing, fighting tomorrow night in New York.
How you doing, Mr. O'Shea? Your fighter
bad.
Be coming on. What area code are they calling from?
We're calling from Westchester County, from Yonkers, New York.
Oh, all right. I see two numbers lighting up from the area code 347. Callers, you on the air?
Oh, Tubby.
What up? I'm sorry. It's Jesse. How are you guys doing? I'm calling from 347 area code. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
How you doing? This is Dennis, the mom's boy, Douglas.
How's it going, Dennis?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How about the other caller from the area code 347?
Yeah, it's Jesse. How you guys doing?
Good. Now, Mr. O'Shea, why don't you tell everybody on the air right now just a little bit about this upcoming card in your own words. You know, good chance for you to get the word out there.
We got a nice card here. Stars on the rise. We got, like, Mama's Boy who's on the phone now. He's 5-0, 3 knockouts. He's fighting a tough kid, but, you know, he should prevail. And he's very interesting fighter because his mom works his corner, and you usually don't see that too often. And it's an exciting attraction out here since James Toney used to have the woman in his corner back in the day, you know. But I never really
hold on, hold on. Who's the one with the mom in the corner again?
Mama's
boy, Dennis Douglas. On right now.
All right, you got to tell us about that, man.
Hello?
Yeah.
Tell him, Dennis, about the situation with your mom.
My name is Dennis, the mama's boy, Douglas. I've been boxing for 11 years now. My mother's been working in my corner since day one. of course it's an attraction. Everybody likes to see it, but that's not why we do it. We do it because I'm comfortable with her. She knows what she's doing, and she's the best of me. So she's in my corner all the way.
Now, she don't have a problem with you being in the ring. I mean, what kind of stuff does a mother yell to her son? You know, we've seen trainers say to them, you know, you got to step it up. You got to, you know, you gotta tear your heart out, stuff like that. You got to fight your heart out. What does she say to you?
My mother's all technical, so when I get back to the corner, it's no fight your heart out. It's keep your hand up when you jab, step around with the left hand. He's dropping his right hand, all the technical stuff. So she's on point with everything.
So has she been the one who trains you at the gym or helps you work on your boxing?
Yeah, she's been training me. Like I said, I started boxing when I was 10 years old. She's always been been training me. At first, I was the one who didn't want her in my corner, so I used to try to get my uncle to work my corner and other males to work my corner because I was a little ashamed of it. But around 14, 15, she started working my corner, and it's been amazing since then.
Now, was she the one who put you in boxing, or did you do it and she thought, well, if you're going to be in boxing, I'm going to tag along?
No, actually, she was boxing, and she was the personal trainer in the gym, or a gym called Rivera Boxing in Brooklyn. And I hated boxing at first when I was, like, 10 years old, but I got in a fight at school. I guess you could say I lost that fight, and she forced me to box. And like I said, I hated it, but she made me come to the gym every day, and eventually I grew to love it.
Now, Mr. O'Shea, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you found Dennis here?
I noticed Dennis about two fights ago. He fought once on DeBella's card in B.B. King's, and then the next fight I seen him fight was in, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Westbury, was that the Westbury show or the Franklin Square show, Mama's Boy?
Westbury
at the theater with DeBella over there. And he was a good fighter, and he caught my attention, and a lot of people come see him, you know, and his mom, it's weird to see a lady in his corner, you know, and it was just like, wow, you know, you see his mom's a good-looking lady, you know, and she's over here with a robot working the corner, and you're like, wow, look at this. And the boy can fight, you know, he can fight.
Now, I was going to say, Dennis, your nickname is the Mama's Boy. Well, what style do you have in the ring?
I like to say I'm a boxer, puncher. I like to adapt. I don't really have a outstanding like speed, outstanding power, but I think my ability to adapt to any fighter style is a good strength. So if he comes out and he's a fast fighter, then I know how to switch my style up and work off that. So that's what I think my biggest strength is.
And he has a pretty good amateur background himself. You know, he's been in the game.
Yeah, Golden Glove, National Golden Gloves, PALs, USA Championships, all that, all with her.
Very nice. Now, Mr. O'Shea, tell us a little bit more about your past as a promoter. You know, what other shows have you done? Any good stories?
Well, this is only my second show. I've been in the game since I boxed myself since I was 13 years old, since 87. I joined in the box at 86. And me and my matchmaker, Miguel Torres, we were both fighters, you know, out of Yonkers and just regular kids. I won the Golden Gloves in 1990. So, you know, took my amateur career okay. That wasn't the best, but I wasn't the worst. I did all right. And same with my partner. He had maybe 40, 50 amateur fights. And, you know, we were doing this, and we just became regular. You know, we stopped from the gym for a couple of years and got some jobs. I became an electrician. He became a carpenter. Me and him always stood in contact, though. And, you know, we went back to the PAL once our sons got of age to fight. Now both of our boys are fighting. My boy's 10 years old. He's fighting. His son's 13 and fighting. And we've been training down there the last 2 years, and we're like, you know, why don't we become trainers and managers? And we both love the sport, and I just thought the promoter would be the best thing for us with our time and what we could do. And you know what it was? A lot of kids out of Yonkers growing up, there was a lot of good fighters who got directed wrong in the pros. A lot of wasted talent that just took fights they shouldn't have took for that couple extra dollars and just lost their careers because of it. So we're trying to keep these kids that are over here in Yonkers on track.
Now, as a local promoter, what's the economy like right now for guys such as yourself doing the things you're trying to do right now?
The economy, the first show, you know what, was a lesson for me. I lost some money, but I had a very, very good card, like a very exciting bout card. Like, we're trying to bring it back, like old school fights. We don't put nobody in too easy. Nobody fights really easy on my card. I don't believe in that. Just get a, you know what I mean, get a win and go in there, you're going to hit the guy and he falls down, and I don't appreciate that in boxing. I like to see fights, you know. So I try to, we try to match up guys, you know, somewhat equal. You know, you're always going to have your A side and your B side, but you want your A side to fight a decent B side guy, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, a good fight requires two people, right?
Right, and in the New York area, most of the kids that are bad are still decent. You know, you get a guy out here with a 2-2 record, and you go down in Arkansas or something, or, you know, Missouri, and you got a guy 8-0, and the guy 2-2 here will take the fight. You know, because there's a lot of tough fighters out in this area. I mean, there's no tough fighters all over the United States, don't get me wrong. But it's like
absolutely.
Cali, you're not going to find no. You're going to find a guy like Cali, 2-2, and I bet you he could fight his ass off.
I'm going to open the panel up to the rest of my co-hosts so the rest of the guys can get at Mr. O'Shea and Dennis here. Go ahead, 916 Chris, go ahead and talk to him.
First off, for Mr. O'Shea, let me ask you, what was the, I think a lot of people when they get into promoting as far as boxing or any sport, they don't really have, they have a general idea of what is involved or what they think may be involved. Obviously, you probably had to do a lot of research and ask a lot of other people in the business, you know, what all you're getting into, but what are like some of the unseen things that you didn't expect that kind of are the most challenging when you're just starting off with a promotional company?
Most challenging thing for us, you know, we thought it'd be easy. We thought we knew the game, you know, but you never know the game until you get into this promoting thing. The most challenging thing I would say is, you know, you get these fighters and every time fights drop out, every card. And on our first show we did, we lost three of our main events. And we had 1 week left to put it on, so we just flew some guys up from Puerto Rico who my matchmaker and partner knew, and you know, we flew them in just to make a show. We got about 400 people in the house. I lost some money, but it turned out to be a great card. Now I'm learning from this experience, you know, you want your ticket sellers on the card as a promoter, but you also want to have good fights too, you know. But like now, like we just came back from the weigh-in. We just came back right now from the weigh-in. Mama's boy tell you, nothing but chaos. These kids, you know, who didn't make the weight, guy didn't make a weight, they're making them sweat the pound or give them money to make the pound, and it's just like a crazy game here. Everybody and their mother got their hands out in this business, you know. You can't talk to no one without them wanting something.
Yeah, I could imagine. I was checking out your website right now, and I see that you got, like, a MySpace page and a Twitter page and stuff. What do you think, like, I mean, like, now, you know, the Internet and things like Twitter and stuff, you know, they're good promotional tools. I'm sure, you know, like a lot of these old-school promoters and stuff probably aren't jumping on that wagon yet. But what do you think about using those as promotional tools? Do you think that's a good way to get your product out there and stuff?
I think it's actually a great way. To be honest with you, I'm not even that computer slick. And when one of the kids in the gym set up the MySpace page for me, and I got actually like 2-3 fighters out of MySpace between shows. I actually got one kid. I would like to shout him out, but I'm just going to say he's got no balls. His name is Carl Davis. He didn't even show up for the weigh-in or the physical. It didn't even answer the call. But I'd just like to let him know that that's not a man, you know what I mean? You call up and say, hey, I can't fight. You don't wait till the day of the fight to not come around.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, there has got to be some kind of repercussions for the rest of your career when you pull a stunt like that in there.
There is. He won't be able to fight in New York. He'll be suspended here. He won't be able to fight here in New York now. You know, they'll put him on suspension and, you know, till he gets it. You know what? But at this stage, he don't want to fight, I guess, you know. He was fighting a kid out here from Long Island, 1-0. He was making his debut. He begged to get on. His kids were hungry. Feed him. I try to help kids out, especially, you know, he wasn't from around here, but any kids around here who call me, they're looking for a fight, I try to get people fights. I got a kid in my gym fighting him all night from my gym as an amateur who's 0-3, Angel Torres. He was a good amateur but took some wrong steps in the pros. I'm giving him an opportunity tomorrow anyway. You know, the rest of the card is pretty much undefeated fighters.
Go ahead, Chris. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. I had another question. You know, all right, you're a former fighter, so obviously you're a fan of the game itself, but you're just getting into the promoting side. All right, say you hold a card and you see one of your fighters, maybe not even one of your fighters, but just a guy that gets a bad decision that, you know, everyone in the fans and attendance, including yourself, know it's just a bad decision. From a fan's perspective, but also a businessman's perspective, is that something where you're kind of have to learn how to just bite your tongue, whereas normally you'd want to really just get on the guy's case and say something like, you know, what are you looking at?
I really hate that. You know, I hate to see a guy get a bad break. You know, even if the guy's like, you know, he comes up here I'm with daughter now. Daughter comes up here and he's got some bad breaks up here in his life, and it's just a hard thing. And I hate to see, you know, a guy wins a fight, he wins a fight. That should be it, hands down. You know, but you've been seeing these last fights you saw Malignaggi, he got a bad break. You know, a lot of fighters been getting some bad breaks lately, and you can't do that. This sport has to really crack down on these judges. Because some of these guys watching these fights, I don't know what fight they're watching, you know? It's really crazy.
No, I agree with you. Real quick question for Dennis. All right, man, not to jump, harp on the Mama's Boy thing, but, you know, that's a name that it's like in a fight sport specifically kind of could carry a negative connotation and stuff. You know, do you ever, have you ever gotten that from an opponent, someone trying to, you know, call you out or tease you or even, you know, degrade you just based on your nickname?
Oh, well, it hasn't happened yet as far as me being a pro, which I'm sure will happen. It happened a lot in the amateurs. We'll be like, oh, I'm not losing to this guy. He's trained by his mother and everything like that. But I look at that as something positive because people sleep on me. They look at it and say, he's trained by his mother. He can't be that good and stuff like that. They go in the ring and don't expect what I bring to the table. So I look at it as all positive. And either way, it gets people watching the fights, regardless of whether they don't think I'm going to be good or whatever. They still want to watch it to see what happens. And when they watch it, they usually fall in love with me. So I'll go with it.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Dave, that's cool with me for now.
Go ahead, our co-host Blood, a.k.a. Martin Jordan. Go ahead, Blood, and talk to Mr. O'Shea.
Hey, first of all, Mama's Boy. That's an interesting name to me right there, brother. Say that people might tend to fall asleep on you, but, you know, they might be falling asleep in the ring if they, you know, underestimate you, though. But give us a little bit about that your weight class, because, you know, I don't think I heard what weight class you was in, and your record. Would you say it was 5-0 right now?
Yeah, 5-0, 3 knockouts. I'm currently fighting at middleweight, which is 160, but we're planning on moving down after this fight in the later months. So I'm going to be fighting at 154, which is junior middleweight. Or super welterweight, whichever you want to look at it.
So do you think you feel better at 154 than more than 160?
I walk around right now probably around like 164, so it wouldn't be a problem for me to get down to 154. I was comfortable at 160, but I feel like I'd be a lot stronger, a lot faster at 154, so we're going to move down.
Man, how old are you? Don't mind me asking, bro.
I'm 21.
21, up and coming. Okay. I got, you know what, man? This is very interesting to me, the Mama's Boy concept. Like I heard mentioned early in the show, I heard somebody mention James Toney had a woman in there, in his corner. We've seen Ann Wolfe doing it. But, you know, you actually have your mom in there, man. And, you know, there's been boxers in the past who's had their fathers in there, such as Lloyd Sr., Roy Jones Jr. had his father in there. And, you know, those didn't really work out. So how's it work out with your mom? I mean, come on, we have two types of mothers. We have that mother who'll be like, oh, my dear son. Then we have that other type of mother who'll be like, go and kick his ass. Like, what kind of mom would you say you have, you know?
I think my mother is a little bit in between. I feel like a lot of the reasons, a lot of times the father and son relationship don't work out as far as boxing because most fathers are living vicariously through their kids, so they got their son in the ring boxing because they missed their opportunity to box. But my mother is not like that. My mother is in my corner because she loves me and she cares about me and she wants me to do good. If I ever went to my mother and said, Ma, I don't want to box anymore, she'll be fine with that and she'll be like, all right, no more boxing. But as long as my heart is in it, her heart's in it. So I feel like we work out because we understand each other like that. I can go back to the corner and be sparring and tell my mother, Ma, listen, my head hurts. I don't want to spar anymore because I have a headache. Well, she'll put me right out the ring. She won't. If it's a father, she'll be like, nah, come on, you can do one more round and get this son hurt or turn this son off. My mother's not like that. We have like a total understanding. She knows how to get me amped. She knows how to calm me down. She knows exactly how to talk to me. So I feel like we're going to definitely work out.
She go ahead and pull out the belt every now and then on you, man.
Well, I mean, of course, she's my mom, but she pulls it out every now and then.
Hey, man, hey, tell me, speaking of fathers, is your father still in the picture right now? How is he involved in your life?
Yes, my father, we still live with my father. They're still together, and he's a great man. He takes good care of the family, but he's just, as far as the boxing goes, he knows that's what she does. He comes to all my fights. He supports you because he is probably the loudest yeller. But as far as in the gym, he leaves that to my mother.
I heard that, man. Give me a little bit about your amateur career, man. How extensive is your amateur career?
Well, I had 98 fights. I was 90-8, which I should have just stayed in for two more. Everybody always tells me that, but I had 98 fights. I won the National Golden Gloves, National PALs, a bunch of tournaments when I was a JO. The New Jersey State Golden Gloves about four times. So I've been around amateurs for a while. I actually had to take a year off. I got in a car accident when I was 17. and I had to take a year off of boxing. But I feel like that helped me get a little bit more focused and more dedicated to the sport.
I heard that, man. So who you repping? You repping New York or you repping New Jersey or the whole East Coast? So who you repping?
I'm going to have to go with New Jersey. I mean, I'm in New Jersey now. A lot of my fans are based out of New Jersey, so I'm going to have to rep New Jersey. But I love New York to death, and I hope they come out and support me. It's Brooklyn all day.
Brooklyn all day, baby. Hey, tell me, man, what keeps you motivated? What keeps that fire in your heart, brother?
Me, I think it's just the love for the sport. I love boxing to death. I mean, like I said, I'm at the point where my mother does well financially, my father does well financially. If I ever wanted to stop boxing and just work a 9-to-5, nobody would have a problem with that. I'm an intelligent person. I'm in college, so I could get a job. But I love the sport, man. Like, that's what motivates me. I want to be the best, and I want to be one of those people that when you hear my 24/7 or you see my special, is not one of those kids that had a hard life and they needed boxing as a way to get out. I just want to be one of those people that love the sport and does something because they love doing it. So
did I just
motivation.
Hear you say that you in college, brother?
Yes, I'm in college.
I think that's good, man. That's really good. What you studying, man?
I'm actually majoring in nutrition.
I heard that, bro. So, hey, you have no excuses coming in the ring out of shape or anything like that. Since you were, doing your thing in nutrition over there. Big ups on that, man. Big ups on the college and everything, man. I'm going to pass it on over to my homie, Strike Hearts. Strike Hearts.
Hey. Hey, Mama's Boy, you said you're studying nutrition. How do you feel about a particular fighter out there named Juan Manuel Marquez drinking his own urine?
I mean, me personally, you would never catch me doing that, but hey, whatever floats your boat. Now, if he likes it, I love it, but that's him. I never read that in the textbook.
All right, this next question would be for you and Brian O'Shea. With Malignaggi being based out of Brooklyn, and I know you just mentioned his loss that should have been a one, what do you make of his post-fight comments?
I'll answer that. I mean, his post-fight comments, I mean, he was mad, He was mad at the point. I'm not sticking up. Malignaggi's not my fighter. I'm not sticking up for the kid, but I thought he won the fight. And, you get heated in this sport. I mean, you can't knock the whole boxing cause of it, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, they're saying two people between that decision with Chris John, Rocky Juarez down there in Texas, and this one. We just got to fix this judging a little, man, and make sure these people start seeing these fights the way they should be seen.
Right. Do you think that mostly has to do with the fact that these are obviously hometown fights and a little bit of rigged scoring for the fighter? Or do you think do you think that the judging is even more broadly messed up than that?
I think Malignaggi, he kind of ran his mouth a little before the fight that could have persuaded the judges because he said he's not getting a fair one before he got in there. And, that wasn't, I don't think, the right thing to say right off the bat,
Right.
But he came, he surprised me. I saw him the other day and I told him, I wagered against him. I thought Diaz would beat him, And I sat there, and I was sweating, and I thought I lost my money, And I was like, Malignaggi won that fight. I mean, hands down, I wouldn't have, got mad at the decision because I thought he lost. I mean, I thought David, Diaz lost.
Yeah, agreed. Care to comment, Mama's Boy?
I mean, I feel the same way Brian feels. I felt like Paulie won the fight hands down to me. And, his post-comments were a little out there, but like you said, he was a little upset, and he was speaking from his heart, and he was genuinely upset because he felt he won the fight. And sometimes it's like that. But, I think the judging was off that day, really bad.
All right. Fair enough. Brian O'Shea, how is it getting a promotional company off the ground? Is it as easy as you thought it would be, or is it as hard as you thought it would be?
It's harder than what I thought it would be. I jumped in the game in like, I had my first show May 15th, and I jumped in the game in like March, and I thought, this is going to be 1, 2, 3. I'm just going to get these fighters, they're going to fight. And nowadays, it's so harder to get fighters to fight, That's why I'm not going to knock Mama's Boy here. I offered him one opponent. The manager said, no problem, when he's not fighting, no slouch, And they jumped on it, we'll take the fight, no problem. I just hate that you call everybody and nobody wants to fight nobody in this game no more. It's so bad with that. That's the worst thing about promotions. And these guys ain't even your fighters, and they you know, they want to fight, but you give them five guys, and they'll walk away, you know?
Uh-huh.
They'll walk away from the fight.
Do you feel any resistance from maybe more well-established promotional organizations that don't want to match up their fighters with your guys?
You know what? I'm not feeling bad with that right now, because in New York, you know, we got a couple big promoters. We got DeBella and DeGuardia, and who's way bigger than me, and then you got a couple guys that are like a little around me, Duffy and those guys who've been doing it longer than me, but in the same boat I'm in with the local shows, and these kids want to fight, you know? So I'm getting calls right now in this last 3 months like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I'm getting calls from California all the way through the whole United States. Everybody wants to fight, you know?
Uh-huh.
And these guys want to fight in their game, you know, I'm ready to put them on, you know? I mean, as long as I could do something, you know, but you can't just complain who you're fighting. Like years ago, I remember when kids of my age were turning pro, you get a call, you're going to fight a cell forum, you're getting four rounds of $400. They wouldn't even tell you who you're fighting half the time until you got to the weigh-in. And that's how boxing used to be, and that's why it used to be really good back then, because everybody was competitive, you know?
But now you got kids who only want to show up to the fight. What kind of shit is that?
Yeah, you ain't kidding. I got a kid that didn't even show up or call. He signed a contract and didn't even call. But
that is
gotta,
crazy. That is crazy. What's his name? Give us his name one more time.
Carl Davis. He says he's the Irish fighting kid from Niagara Falls. He's a tough kid. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm an Irishman myself. I ain't got nothing against nobody. I mean, I'm an American, but I'm not, you know, Irish background. And for him to call me and put this out there, his kids are hungry. He's going to eat. He's going to fight. And I knew because he fought a kid in the amateurs for my gym. So I knew who he was, you know. I said, no problem. He signed the contract. He called me 8 times. You know, can you do this? You know, very polite kid, and then all of a sudden, just backed out without even calling, like that, even saying nothing. And it was, I know he got the message. You know, it ain't nothing.
Do you think it's possible that you know, emergency situation came up though,
no,
or did he just get?
I called his mother. I called.
Oh, for real.
I couldn't get in touch with him. I called his mother.
So he was probably hiding somewhere in his closet during
right.
that time
I called,
period.
I called his mother, and his mother gave me the house number. So, you know, she would have told me if something was wrong, you know. She gave me the house number and just wouldn't answer for you know, I called over 20 times, you know. Over 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
But we've turned out with a good card anyway. I got some, you know, really good upcoming prospects on this card. We got Mama's Boy, like I said, Douglin. We got Carlos Zambrano in the main event, who's an Olympian from Peru. Okay, the boy can fight. At 126 pounds, he's going to be a force in this thing. It's so hard to get him a fight. But he's fighting against a game, Jason Rory, who's a kid from North Carolina, 5-3, won his last three, who can fight too. So, you know, there's a lot of little shit talking here, but tomorrow's time for them to fight, and that's going to be a very exciting little six-round fight. And then we have Will Rosinski. He's 8-0, six knockouts. He's going up against the veteran Ray Darden, which is going to be, you know, age against experience. And that's also going to be a very, you know, fulfilling bout. And we got this kid, Chris Algieri. He's 8-0. He's an old kickboxing champ. He turned into boxing. And I give the kid a lot of credit, man. The kid adapts to styles. I've seen two of his fights, and he can fight, man. The kid can fight.
8-0. He's got a good start, that's for sure.
8-0, four knockouts, and he's not fighting bums, you know what I mean? He's fighting, you know, decent fighters that we know from around the way, you know? And
right.
He's looking pretty good. And then, of course, we got my girl, Nydia Feliciano. We signed this girl because she's my first person I signed here to this contract. And she's a girl. She's 0-0-1. Now, she told us she could fight. We didn't think. You know, we said, we'll get you on the card. We didn't sign her. Put her on against a really game girl who was tough in the amateurs, Jackie Trivolino. And I don't watch girl boxing, and I told him I'm never putting girls on my card. And this girl fought this girl. On this card, it was one of the best fights you see between girls. They went out.
Her name's Feliciano, you say? Feliciano?
Yeah. Nydia okay. Feliciano. So she's fighting this girl from Rhode Island tomorrow night on the card in a four-rounder. And, you know, we're looking to get her first win. Hopefully everything goes well. And we got a kid that was ranked number 3, making his pro debut in the country, Raul Lopez. Mean body puncher at 119 pounds. And he's
where's he from? Where's he originally from?
He's from the Bronx.
Okay.
He's from the Bronx, New York. He won a lot of amateur tournaments. You know, he won the Golden Gloves here like 4 times. He's been in the Nationals, lost like in the semifinals, and he's a fighter. You know, the boy.
So most of your fighters are New York based, pretty much.
Right now, we got all New York fighters coming. I'm signing the kid from from actually Georgetown, Guyana, over there by Africa. His name is Leon Moore. He's got 24 wins, 22 knockouts with 2 losses, 2 split decision losses like in Germany and somewhere else. He's in the Waimau area, and we're getting him out here, and we're going to try to get him for the WBC title, intercontinental title on October 30th in Yonkers.
Yes, sir.
I see a few numbers lining up. I got another call from the area code 914. I wonder if it's another one of your fighters, Mr. O'Shea.
Yeah, that's Nidia. That's probably Nidia. Nidia's not 914.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Nidia. Nidia, what's up?
Oh, what's up, Brian? How you doing?
You on the radio with There Will Be Blood. Say
yeah,
hello to your
I heard all the conversations that y'all have in there.
What's going on, Mr. Feliciano? How you doing tonight?
Hi.
Now, before we do that, I think we got our last co-host, 97 Ruff. Are you there, man?
I'm here, brothers. I'm over listening to everything. Hey, Brian, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, my man?
I heard you got Yonkers in the house.
Yonkers is definitely in the house. We're bringing that old school fight game back.
I forgot about the Bronx.
We got Bronx up in here, you know what I'm saying? That's all tight. I like that. Let me ask you real quick, Brian. Is Yonkers okay? That's kind of a rare form to have a fight card on. I mean, you know, I was talking to Jesse Reekin about that, and I said, hey, man, I'm feeling this card because, you know, a lot of times I think Las Vegas has taken away that all feel of having the casual fans form in and kind of become hardcore fight fans, you know, by catching these fights that are not in the norm of places. Is that why you're doing it up in Yonkers?
You know what? Yonkers, I mean, actually, like, Yonkers, we're only 2 minutes. You know, you could cross the street in a certain part of Yonkers and be in the Bronx. We're right outside the city, you know, like from Nidia's gym to my gym is about a 7-minute drive for me in Mars Park over there. And we're doing it up in Yonkers because, you know what, a lot of old fighters came, you know, Renato Snipes and them back in the day, there was a lot of old fighters here, and there was always shows. So this Yonkers is like an armory, you know, it's like a big armory, it's not fancy, it's in the hood, and it's just like, you know, but it brings a lot of people out, and a lot of people out here are really enjoying these regular fights instead of paying these big money to go to these big cards and see a boring show. They're coming here and seeing hungry fighters, kids that got nothing to fight for but money, you know what I mean? And they're leaving everything in the ring when they get there.
Well, you know, man, like I said, you know, that's why I think this card is so intriguing. You know, I'm checking it out, and I'm thinking, like, okay, this is where it's at. This is where it needs to be at. When you got a promoter that's hungry as his fighters, this is what needs to be done to show this is how alive boxing still is. So I got to applaud you for doing that, Brian. I really got to applaud you on that, man. And you know, if I lived up in New York, if I was I would definitely be up in the mix to be there to, you know, check out the whole card because, like I said, it looks interesting. You got a lot of prospects, undefeated prospects on the card, so that right away got to my ear. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. I appreciate that, my man. And we're trying to do that. That's our goal here, to bring some old school boxing back. We ain't trying to build nobody. Nidia knows. She's my fighter. I put her in first. I mean, she wasn't even with me when we did that. She just fought it anyway against a really tough girl. And she knows the next fight, we're going to take a step up every time we fight because that's how we're going to get better. We're not going to get better beating no bums and just walking over and building a record and then we lose when we come to fight somebody easy. We're going to get better each time we fight.
It's true.
Okay, let's turn the mic real quick to Nidia over here because, you know, she's the second female we've ever had on Leaving the Ring Live Boxing Radio Show.
Yes,
so I'm going to ask you a quick question. When you're sparring, do you spar the females, or do you need to get in there with some males and all that to see if your skills are up to par?
Well, I'll be sparring with guys. You know, like, it's more easier for me because I think I'm a girl, you know, and other girls, I feel like they're too soft and, you know, they can't handle, like, strong puncher as a man. But I like spar more with boys than with girls. Like I feel more the workout and the pressure with boys.
What made you get into it? What made you get into the fight game, baby?
Oh, I used to fight a lot in school. It was my mother that started sending me to boxing school.
Oh, so you used to get in street fights, and then you were just somebody just told you, hey, let's do this, let's do this the right way, pretty much. Is that what happened?
Yeah, something like that. I'm not gonna lie, something like that. I used to fight a lot in school. You know, give like I try to get my respect in the street, so I don't like people be disrespecting me, so I start fighting with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she sparred with girls too, though. She sparred Melissa Hernandez before, who's you know, a champion. I don't know if you heard of Melissa Hernandez. She's 10-11-1 out here.
Yeah, that's and my idol right there.
You know, it sounds like a roughneck that decided to become professional, you know, and stepping into that ring. Brian, you know, you said right now you don't watch female fighters. What intrigued you about signing her? And really, honestly, I mean, a lot of males, a lot of fight fans, they're not really, their heads don't turn completely all the way around when it comes, when you talk about a female fighter. It's big in the UK, you know, over the pond, it's a huge sport. But here in America, it's not. What exactly is she bringing to the table that can make fight fans say, okay, this is it. This is why I'm going to sit down and open a beer and have some popcorn, some chips, and tell the other boys down the block why to come down and see her.
Well, why they're coming to see her is because, you know what, she's got skills. She can fight. This girl can box, can punch, and she can bang. She got all three in it. And, you know, back to the days when you're talking, when Christy Martin's coming up, I mean, it just looked like girls were fighting that they just tried off the street. They get in the ring and you just, like, throw some wild shit. And when I seen, a match that I would love to send you guys between her and this girl, Jackie Tribolina, it was incredible. The whole crowd, that's all everybody asked me since that fight. What's up with them girls? Are they fighting again? You got any, you know what I mean? And she's got skills. She jabs, she moves, she gives angles. She punches with both hands, you know? I mean, something that you want in a fighter.
Yes, sir.
And
you're going to be knocking
some
people out? Baby girl, you're going to be knocking out some females for us? Because that's what we like to see is the knockout.
That's too hard to find a knockout. You need to be in the ring, just study the present. If you see you can hit the knockout, just get it. It's not that easy.
That's it. If she don't find the knockout, she'll get it. She don't find that knockout. If she don't look for the knockout, she'll get it. But if she gets too excited and wants to rumble, she'll make the fight worse for herself. But if she sets up her time and picks up punches, this girl can knock a lot of girls out in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just need to be careful and just move around so you can see the knockout right there. I don't look for the knockout. The knockout comes by itself.
She comes from a very tough gym, Marvis Park Gym in the Bronx. That's where you just saw the, did you guys watch the special on Resto with the Irish guy, Billy Collins, on HBO?
Talking about.
That's the gym where they showed you downstairs where Resto's living in. Shit, that's the gym where she's out of. She fights with them. And there ain't really too many female fighters there. It's all men. So when I go in there to watch the spar, you know, I laugh when watching her beating up some of these kids, you know, some of the amateur kids that are coming up and, you know, they're having trouble with her. They're getting frustrated. It's pretty funny to watch.
And let me ask you this, Eddie, because, you know, it's all good and dandy. You want to knock out people that get in that ring, but we all know that longevity lasts with the boxer. Is that what you try to move? Or you're molding yourself to be a puncher? Because a lot of times the punches are one-dimensional. Are you trying to meet all the dimensions of being a complete fighter?
Oh, me?
Yep.
Yes, ma'am.
I try to be a complete fighter. Seriously, like, I really like boxing. So many just being here. So I want to be in the top, you know? That's my dream.
So when you talk about you want to be a complete fighter, what are you who you trying to mold yourself off of? I mean, there's got to be somebody right now that before or even after that you sit and you watch and you say, okay, that's where I need to be at. That's exactly how I got to come in there, and that's how graceful I got to be in that ring.
So let me put a sample as Melissa Hernandez, something like that. I want to be just like her.
Okay.
They might not know Melissa Hernandez. Melissa Hernandez is a good fighter out here. She doesn't get too many breaks for fights no more because, you know, I mean, it's hard. A lot of guys don't promote the women fighters because it's not a big ticket draw and it ain't covering them. You know what I mean?
I got one for her
real quick. Since you're a woman boxer, I just want to know, because this always comes across, you know, people write me about this. Layla Wolf or Ali, who would have won that fight?
Between who?
Ali versus Wolf. Who would have taken it?
I go to
you
Ali.
Being a woman boxer.
I go to Ali.
I agree
with her, too. Ali, I liked Ali in that fight over Wolf. I'm not saying nothing bad about Wolf. Wolf's a strong girl, But Wolf had some losses there that Ali, I don't think, would have ever gotten, you know?
It's true, but Ali have more power punches than Wolf has.
I heard there's a girl out of Chicago that neither one of them wanted to fight. I forgot her name. That there was a girl from Chicago that neither Layla and Ali or Aaron Wolf was willing to fight.
What?
My boy wasn't ready for that.
Layla Ali to me is the best girl fighter I've seen in this boxing game yet. Is Layla Ali, and I'm gonna go hands down with that. I think Layla Ali is the best female boxer that boxed yet in the game. And Lucia Reichka is the other girl.
Love Lucille Riker, man. I'm going to have to go with Lucille Riker first. I don't know about Layla Ali. I mean, I'm not really sold on her, you know what I mean? Lucille Riker, to me, was a complete fight. I like the way she her swagger was nice. You know what I mean? It complemented the sport of boxing.
Right. It did.
But, you know, everybody, you know what I mean? Everybody's sugar's a little bit different. Hey, Brian, man, I really appreciate you coming on with Leaving the Ring. You know, I'm a little late. My boys are playing soccer, so I'm over trying to, you know, maintain the household and at the same time the business. And I really appreciate you coming on, chopping it up with us and breaking it down and bringing this new fight card to Yonkers and having these prospects, man, and just keeping the sport alive, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It was great talking to you guys. And
shout out to Mama's boy.
I know that your show is actually going to be streamed on the internet for people who can't be there.
Yes, go start live showing the show. And anybody on the East Coast listening, it's tomorrow night at Yonkers at 7:30 at the Yonkers PAL. That's the Yonkers Armory on 127 North Broadway. And you can get tickets for $40, $60, and $100. $100, you get a dinner and a ringside seat. And it's a good time. Nice music, nice ring girls, and it's a good night out.
And how much is the
stream? I'll be there.
Did you say
right.
ring girls, bro?
Hey,
Russ, get us some tickets. He said ring girls, bro. Get us some tickets right away.
We're going to have to get some tickets.
You guys ever on the East Coast, you guys are my guests. You ever come out here, I got you.
We're going to be out there, man. We'll be out there on your next event for sure, Brian. We'll definitely be there, man, so we can at least commentate what's going on over there and bring it back over here, you know, to the West Coast. And, you know, we got blood over there in Florida. You know, we got a lot of spots, a lot of people that listen to us, man. We definitely want to spread the word about your event.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. And I'll be in touch.
One last word.
Go ahead.
Everybody, where this thing's going to be at and what website they can go and check everything out at.
They could go and check everything. It's up on every website pretty much. You could check on any Best Boxing website, but it's under O'SheaBrothersBoxing.com, and you could check it on. It's everywhere. It's listed in Box Records. It's on the Fight News. It's on you guys. It's on everywhere, you know. So it's going to be a good one. Everybody come out and enjoy themselves, and after party's going to be even better.
That's right. It is on the WillBeBloodFightShow.com and StandAndFight.com. If you want it, if you want to click on and see a little bit more, it's on Go Fight Live. You can check out the fight. It's streamed. And like I said, he's bringing something back that is it needs. It's a necessity to be brought back in the boxing. So Brian O'Shea, Promotions, thank you very much again, brother. And best of luck of what's going to happen with your event and your fighters.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy.
All right, man. You know, like I said, man, I was running late. I got the kids, soccer games. You know how it goes, man. Get back on track by the end of this month. But I went down to the conference, the press conference in hometown, Oakland, California, for Mikael Kessler and Andre Ward. And I know that Strikeheart got a press call with them and got some interviews. But I got them on tape. I interviewed Mikael Kessler, and I also interviewed Andre Ward. Hey, they look good. They both look strong. No trash talking among the two guys. But there were some heated moments between the two guys when it came down to answering some questions because two very confident fighters. And, you know, right now, Mikael Kessler is the favorite of the fight. And he's really the favorite of the whole event. Everybody's really picking him to really, like, clean out the division and stuff. So it was interesting to be there to hear both of these guys' point of views and what they're going to do about this match. Andre Ward feeling real confident, saying, yo, I'm going to take it. I'm going to do what I need to do. And McKissler is like, yo, I'm here to do my job, but I'm also here to prove that I'm the best 168 to lace gloves at this division at this moment. That was fantastic. I'll be posting it up a little later on the WillBeBloodFightShow.com, StandAndFight.com. I want to real quick
introduce one of our new guys that's going to be part of the panel, one of the new PRs that's going to be involved with us and leaving the ring, Jesse Reakin. He has left Get It From Behind Boxing. I mean, I'm sorry, On The Grind Boxing, you know, to come with us. You know, so, hey, Jesse Reakin, are you on the line, brother?
Hey, what's up, man? I appreciate you guys welcoming me aboard, and what up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man. Hold up. Homeboy sounds just like Rob out of Puerto Rico, man. It's going to come
through. Doesn't he sound just like Rob? No, man. I mean, when he said that, I thought it was maybe a little joke over here, but Rob. Hey, where is Rob Riller? Is Rob Riller on the line?
Hey, guys, can I give out Brian forgot to do one thing. He forgot to give out the phone number for tickets. Can I do that right quick for him?
Go for it, brother.
914-216-9381. $40, $60, and $100. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be giving the results. The results will be up on therewillbebloodfightshow.com. We're going to have it first.
Man, that sounds great.
Stop fucking with me. That's Riddler.
Voice from Fendetto, a.k.a. Rob Riddler, man, out of Puerto Rico. It sounds definitely like Jesse Reakin. And Jesse Puerto Rican, too. You know what I'm saying? There must be twins over here. And speaking about Voice for Vendetta, man, Rob Riddler, let's Strike Card, you know, he dropped on his last video. I got to watch his stuff, and he reminded everybody. Marlon Jordan, a.k.a. Blood, a.k.a. Iron Lungs, and Rob Riddler, a.k.a. Voice for Vendetta, have made a bet. Marquez loses, guess what? Voice from Vendetta out of Puerto Rico is going to be gurgling his own urine. If money loses, well, there ain't going to be no money in the palms of Iron Lungs, a.k.a. Blood. He's going to be gargling his own urine at this. Also, great bet. This is a bet that we're holding them both on. Now, I just want to know, you guys are going to put this on video, right?
Yeah, it's going on YouTube. Riddler going to drink urine on YouTube.
Hey, Dave, we got scheduled Joshua Claudia for to be on with Leave It in the Ring with the rest of us. If there will be blood staff, just make sure he's not on yet. And if he is, patch him on through, interrupt us, and let us know that he's on so he's not waiting too much longer. You know, any. Let me ask this. Now, what's this, Chris? You on the line, brother?
You know it. What's up?
Any new MMA news that we could report real quick before Mr. Joshua Kalati gets on the line with us?
We just kind of broke down earlier the news about Fedor fighting on CBS coming up in October. Aside from that, you know, everyone's talking Mayweather-Marquez, particularly on here, but don't forget MMA fans, myself, UFC 103 going head-to-head on Saturday. So I'm sure I'm going to hear whether or not I messed up and bought the wrong pay-per-view this weekend from y'all if Mayweather-Marquez goes down as a classic.
You're not buying the wait. You're not buying the Marquez and Mayweather fight?
No, sir.
Oh man. You know, a matter of fact, you know what, if anybody's not buying and you're up in Cali and you're near Sacramento, the Avalon Nightclub is gonna be holding the Marquez Mayweather fight for free. That's right. You can come in and watch the fight for free. They're gonna have it up on plasmas, they're gonna have it on a projector, the whole works, drinks, food, barbecue. There's going to be barbecue catering out there. The ladies, everything, music right after. Is going to have like a little after-hour party and whoever wins on this belt. So if you don't want to stay home and watch the fight alone, you know what I'm saying? You can go down to Avalon Nightclub in Sacramento, Avalon Nightclub, and chill out. I may show up. I'm not really sure. It all depends, man, if I have the time to go roll up there and sit down and watch the fight in the nightclub. I may just want to stay home, open up a couple of brewskis, and see what happened. What is the outcome? And then because immediately I know that I'm going to want to log on to see who's going to drink piss on YouTube.
It's going to be Rob Riddle. Rob Riddle is drinking piss.
We got Rob Riddler on the line yet, or is he hiding now? Has he smoked himself out of not being on Leaving the Ring today because of the whole bet?
He's scared, man. He's scared because he gonna have to get on video and drink some tea. And we saw you got a camera too, so don't even try to get out of it when your time to drink that tea. Golden Rivers for you, homeboy.
I gotta say, I want Marquez to win, but I just don't see it happening.
There we go. Well, we're doing it.
Fritter's over there eating and drinking, like, specific things, just so on the day when he has to do it, he has the right flavor.
Oh, you mean he's eating cantaloupes and he's eating grapes? I don't know if that has anything to do to give any flavor to urine. I heard it's something else. You know, that's what a lady has ever told me and stuff. It's not the urine. It's the other thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That gives it flavor. So he may be doing it for all the wrong reasons. Well, all I know is, hey, at least allow the man to put some Kool-Aid in there. You know, and give a little bit of flavor for the poor guy. He's only 18 years old.
I think the best thing he can hope for is mild. That's the flavor he's
aiming. Don't be drinking no Crystal Light either, Riddler. No Crystal Light and Kool-Aid and all this shit.
You know what? The messed up part is that Riddler talks a lot of shit, so hopefully his stuff don't taste like shit. Anyways, man, like I said earlier, hey, gotta welcome Jesse Reakin, who's gonna be helping out the show. He's gonna be on the panel with us. He's part of the familia now, the family of Leave It in the Ring. He left another boxing channel, boxing radio show. You know, things didn't work out, so now he's with us, the number one boxing radio show right now. Never, you know, it's funny, I never said that, but that word seems to be thrown out very freely from other radio shows, saying they're number one, they're number one. So maybe, I don't know, should we jump on that trend that we're number one? Because I never thought that we were. I just thought we were just another network trying to throw some stuff out there to keep the sport alive and do what we need to do with it best and stuff. Never really look at it to be a competitive, you know, for us to be competitive, you know. Chris 916, what do you think, bro? Should we be competitive with these other guys that like to take little jabs up at us, you know, from here and there? Or should we just stay as where we are, leave it in the ring?
Nah, I don't know, man. No point getting into it. If people are, you know, talking about you behind your back, that means they're just threatened, you know what I'm saying? Or they're worried about the competition. I pay it no mind because, you know, I'm only focused on what we're trying to do here, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, you know, and I'm sure that's the way it is. You know, our listeners and, you know, the listeners are going to speak for themselves, the numbers and whatnot. I think as long as we keep doing what we're doing, man, things can only go up.
Strikeheart, what you got, man? What you got with this one? Because I know you make your segment that says, what's bothering Strikeheart?
Well, this is how I look at it. All we got to worry about is ourselves. The way we all roll, we're number one in our own minds, and I'm sure all of our listeners' minds anyway. And as long as we're putting out good work, you make up your own mind. But I think we're hands down number one anyhow. You don't have to say it to be it. So.
The only man on Leaving the Ring that can do the commentary from the bathroom, David Chan, what do you got?
Whoa, I do the radio show from my bathroom, but I do the commentary on camera.
Go ahead, brother. What you got?
Well, listen, you know, first of all, I don't want us to be those guys. I don't want to be us to, you know, do that thing where, you know, we say we did best just because we're trying to put out an air of superiority. It doesn't mean we're not competitive. In fact, we're very competitive, but we're competitive in the way that we want to do what we do extremely well. I could care less what other people do because, like all of us on YouTube, we've never been the kind of guys who beg for subscribers. We've never been the fame seekers. You know, it doesn't really matter. We just want to do our thing and do our thing correctly. So, hey, I think we're doing the right thing right now. The fact that we got them worried means we're on the right track.
Mr. Iron Lung, a.k.a. Blood, the most vocalist man on Leaving in the Ring, the man that really has got the ammo, the guy that's got grenades in every phrase that he decides to drop, what do you got?
Well, man, you know, I heard that there was guys that was wearing a bunch of dresses and putting on their makeup and all that and talking like a bunch of little girls. But, you know, man, hey, if you want to claim that you on the hustle, dog, and you on that grind, dog, I'll put you on the street corner and I'll be your pimp. And then you can give me some damn money. All right? You know what I'm saying? That's what being on the grind is all about, working for blood. Now, you know, get on the grind, put your makeup on, put your dress on, and then come on over here and give me that money. You know, I'm trying to get paid. And you know, people need to watch their mouth because we might catch them at one of these events. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to have to answer up then. So watch your mouth out there, for real. And I'm speaking for myself, but, you know, I represent There Will Be Blood. And when y'all coming at us taking shots, dog, then, hey, I'm going to hold y'all bitch asses accountable for it. And that's just the way I'm looking at it. Hell no, I ain't ignoring them dudes, man. They want to talk shit. Come 100. Say y'all names, dog, so I could go all out on y'all boys.
Yeah, I heard that, man. And then that's the whole reason we call ourselves Leave It in the Ring. You know, like I said, co-partner, stand and fight. Like I've always said, you stand and fight. There will be blood. That's how it rolls, and that's the way it's going to be. Anyways, I'm your host, 97 Rough, Dave Duenas. David Chan, do we got Mr. Joshua Kalati? And once again, welcome my boy, Jesse Reekin, who is with Leave It in the Ring.
Absolutely. Welcome, Jesse. Now, I don't think I have Joshua Kalati. I do have a caller from the area code 909. Caller, are you on the air?
Yeah, what's good, man? It's Grindshine. What's good?
What's going on, Grindshine? How you doing, Dairy Doggy Dog? What's going on, man? You know what I'm saying? Because I know you got something to drop down right now, and every time you want to with me.
Who was that?
you know, Grindshine be coming out like he's Luther Vandross and all that, man. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, Grindshine?
A little bit of Don Cornelius, huh?
They heard that, brother. You got that. You got that all the way right now. You're like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do my thing right now. I'm going to get you on game. What's going on, brother? What's on your mind, man? Talk to us over here and leave it in the ring.
Oh, no, man. Just getting this amped up about this fight on Saturday, man. See, can Marquez pull off an impossible upset? But besides that, everything's good and chilling.
Now, let me ask you this about that fight.
I believe we got our special guest, Joshua Kalati, Mr. Kalati.
Oh. Say about a bill.
Joshua Kalati, are you on the phone, brother?
Yeah.
Josh, how you doing, man? How's everything going for you?
Everything is fine, you.
We're doing fantastic, brother. You know what? Honestly, thank you for taking the time to, you know, chop it up with us over here on the live boxing radio show, Leaving the Ring. And let me ask you this, because the whole thing is, whether are you going to fight Shane or you're not going to fight Shane, or is Kermit Central stepping in to fight you now?
Well, you see, I'm just a fighter, you know. I fight anybody that they put in front of me. You know, my manager told me about Shane fight. Now he's telling me that because of HBO problem and everything, that fight is not gonna come on. So right now they want me to be on undercard of Pavlik and Williams. So he's talking about Sitchin. I'm ready to fight with Sitchin or whoever they put in front of me.
Now, let me ask you, because, you know, you said I'm just a fighter. But even being a fighter, you know, Josh, you've been pretty vocal. You know, are you frustrated finally, man? Because, you know, Shane Mosley is a big name. That's a big money day for you. You know, where Kermit Cintron, he's had a success already by beating Fredo Angulo. But Shane Mosley is the bigger money, obviously, for you, right?
You're right, you know. Fighting with, when you're a fighter, right, you're fighting with a ton of people like Shane Mosley, Nogokoro, Margarito, that means you're fighting with opponents. I love fighting with those guys because, you see, even when we're talking about the big money, it's fine because it's boxing, it's all about money. But, you know, fighting with those kind of guys, people might recognize you. You might have good name to your opponents, you know. So I want to fight with those guys. I'm very, very happy that I'm supposed to fight with Shane Mosley, because when they told me about it, I'm so happy about it because I really want to fight with Shane, but you see, whatever happens, boxing, anything can happen, anything changes. So I'm ready to fight whoever they want to give it to me.
You know, when you sit back, okay, you know, the fight that a lot of people were divided between right down the middle in the boxing community was when you fought Miguel Cotto. Do you still feel in your heart of hearts, do you want that fight, or have you looked back and looked at it and said, okay, I didn't do enough to win that fight?
You know, I won that fight several times. And when you won the fight from the second round, the first round, I lost because, I lost concentration. That's why I won that, but not like I did the first round. I lost that first round. But when you watch from the two to the end, I was everywhere. You know, I was chasing the guy, being the aggressive, the guy, being the aggressive, chasing him, throwing my punches, you know. Even if I throw less, I land much than he threw many that he land. So I thought I won the fight. And, you know, I didn't know, because when the last two rounds, it was just moving around. He don't want to stand for us to fight. He just moving around. I'm just chasing him around for us to fight. So they have to know I'm being the aggressor. But you see, it's boxing, you know. Whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm still moving on with my life.
A lot of great warriors have came out of Ghana. You know, and you're obviously up there. You're obviously one of the best fighters that have come out of there. Now, you know, when you got dropped by Cotto, did you really get dropped? I mean, were you hurt, or was that something that you know, because some fight fans will say he slipped. Some said, you know what, you were caught off guard. Can you tell me, man, what happened at that moment?
You know, when they found the 10 seconds, the thing that they beat 10 seconds, I was thinking that it was over. The round is over. So I just leave my guard open, you know, before I realize I'm down. But not like I did or something. Not like he hit me with a hard punch or something like that. I did not feel dizzy. Just like a little bit, you know. I get confused a little bit. That's why I went down. But like, I think it's cool. Like I did. That's why I came in the second round hard. And I want the second round for people to know that not like I'm dizzy.
Do you still feel that you're the most feared man in the welterweight division? Do you still feel you're not getting a fair shake by other fighters? They're still afraid of you?
I think this question is a very, very good question. The promoters, the people, the media, you, everybody have to know that I am the guy that everybody don't want to fight. I am the most fierce fighter that they don't want to fight because they always think that I'm dangerous. And they always think that dangerous without any reward. They have to know that we don't pay ourselves. We, the boxers, don't pay ourselves. It's the TV that pays us. The TV loves me. They always want to see action because me, I'm not a boring guy in the ring. So they have to stop saying that Joshua is dangerous. If I fight Joshua, is dangerous without anything. Come on, you don't pay yourself. People pay you before you go to the ring and fight. The network would love me to fight with anybody. We have to fight each other. They should stop thinking with opponents that they want to fight, or they should stop fighting with those kids, the little like people that they from lightweight, that they're going to come and fight for welterweight, just that they come from lightweight that will fight for welterweight. No, we have to fight. What is the best welterweight out there? I'll fight with the best. And me, I'm number one, ready to fight with anybody.
You know, Joshua, the Ghana warrior mentality is hard. It's tough. It's you know, rugged. It's a roughneck guy. Do you feel, in all honesty, do you feel the Americans have that same mentality, and that's why you're not getting those fights? You feel Americans may be a little soft in that area? That's why they're not fighting you at this moment?
You see, what I think is that because I'm not from here, you see, I'm not from, no, I'm in Bronx, right? I'm not from anywhere like America. I'm just from Africa, who is coming to fight to make some money to take care of the family, to make name, you see. So it's very hard for the people to, recognize the fight that I want, all because I'm not from here. But they have to know this is how it is. Some of the best boxers, including those best rappers out there right now, most of them are not from here. Like I can see that, like this guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's not from America. He's doing good. They have to let us fight, you know. They have to give me the fight that I deserve. Because, you know, to be fair with you, if the TV take me as their fighter, like maybe Showtime, HBO, the TV took me as their fighter, I will never make nobody fight. I will always make the people happy. I deserve a better fight.
So in other words, let me ask you this. You come to America from Africa for the land of opportunity, but yet, do you feel are you given this opportunity to prosper in this land? Do you feel, are you a little disappointed how things are turning out over here in America for you? Because you haven't been given the due that is due to you at this moment.
Well, you see, when I was coming to America, I used to fight in England. When I was coming to America, I know that America is the last place for a fighter to just do whatever you want to do in the game. You know, so I was coming here, and I know that I'm coming to fight with the best. You know, when I was in the airport in Ghana, I prayed that, oh God, let me come to America, mix with the best fighters like Shambusi, Koro, Margarito. It's true, I'm there mixing with them. But yes, sir, I deserve to fight with the better opponents out there. I am a little bit disappointed because they keep writing me off. The guys don't want to fight me. They keep giving excuses. They keep saying that Joshua is dangerous to fight. It's true that I'm dangerous to fight with, you see. But the TV have to accept me as their fighter before this guy is going to fight me. And, you know, I'm ready to fight any fighter because, you see, this is boxing. you have to sign a contract, go to the ring and fight for the people to be happy. And I'm ready to make the people happy. I need to fight with the best. The TV have to understand that Joshua is the guy who never make boring fights.
I'm going to pass the mic down to my co-host, Marlon Jordan, a.k.a. Blood, a.k.a. Iron Lungs. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say that before I ask you a question, that most of us hardcore fans, we really consider you at the top of the welterweight game, if not the best welterweight out there. But I've seen you. You've called out Paul Williams, who nobody wanted to fight. You know, you was willing to fight Shane Mosley. You did mention Andre Berto. How would you feel going through after this next fight, maybe fighting Andre Berto? You still hold strong? Because you actually called him out one time after your fight. Do you still feel strongly about a fight with Berto, perhaps?
You know, I have no to be fun with you. All the champions out there, the only guy that I want to fight, the guy that I really want to fight is Berto. You know, I don't get a problem with Berto like we have a personal issue, no. But you see, his promoter is my former brother, which is Rudy Bella. And because of that, because of Rudy Bella, I really want to fight with Berto. And, you know, I saw Luis de Vela, one of the fight, I think Kodo and Mike Gini. Luis de Vela told me that he would never do it. He would never put me to fight with because he knows how good I am. I really want to fight with Beto because it's going to be a very good matchup. If Beto beats me, that is why people are going to respect me as one of the top contenders. But he has to fight me. I really want to fight him badly, to be fine with you.
Do you see something in Berto that you could, that just looks weak to you, that you think you could capitalize off of fighting Berto?
You know, to be fair with you, boxing, you know, sometimes you must think about technique in the ring. But sometimes it works. It depends on the opponent you're going to fight. Sometimes it doesn't work. Because when you fight with a guy who is smart and you're trying to use a technique to him, if it's not going to work, you have to use mind. Boxing is a physical work. It's a strength in it. The way you're going to condition yourself, that's how you're going to carry to the ring. I'm not seeing any weaknesses in Berto that I can capitalize with that, but I know that if I fight with Berto, I'll fight with Berto like two guys that meet in the ring that they fight, and I'll beat him.
Right now we see that they're having a tournament in the 168-pound division, but most people would say that the welterweight division is the most stacked. Do you think that a tournament and the welterweight division would be something worthwhile? Because, you know, many people are questioning who the man is at welterweight right now. And there's so much talent at welterweight. How are we going to clean up this welterweight picture right now, in your eyes?
Exactly. That is a very, very good question. To start with you, the welterweights, we have to fight each other. Even if that the piece out there that they're doing is a very good thing. Because to start with you, just look at these big things. The Darren guy, the Jermaine Pilo, Carfruch, the guy from Germany, Abraham. Look at this, the top six. It's going to be a very dangerous thing because you see, somebody has to lose undefeated, like the guy from Germany, Abraham, and that guy, what you call Andrew Ward. Andrew Ward is my favorite fighter too. I love the guy. But you see, look at this thing. Somebody has to lose. Then your record on defeating has to be, you have to lose something. That is the most important in boxing. And it's the most interesting something to watch. Because somebody has to lose his own defeating record to get something good. You see, that is how the welterweight has to fight. They're choosing opponents. Some of the guys, they're choosing opponents. I really respect Miguel Cotto because he chose to fight me. And end of the day, when we were in the ring, he paid some of the prices. He realized that Jay Shakur is not easy to fight. This is what we have to do, and you people have to do. We have to fight each other. We have to fight. I am among the best fighters out there. We have to fight each other to know who is the best. I think that is the best because, to be frank with you, if you ask me who is the best fighters out there, I'll tell you that I'm the best fighters out there. If you ask Kodo, Kodo is going to tell you the same thing as Shane and everybody. So we have to fight each other to get the best fighters out there, who is going to be the number one.
Yes, sir.
We got Joshua. Karate are leaving the ring. If anybody's just tuning in, we got the one of the most feared 147 fighters, Ghana Warrior Joshua Kalati. Go ahead, Blood. Continue what you were saying, brother.
Oh, I was just saying, what do you think about, you know, they have this fight coming up with Miguel Cotto and Manny Pacquiao. It's being fought at 145 pounds. Don't you think that this just adds more confusion to the welterweight picture? I mean, shouldn't these guys be fighting at 147 and moving towards who the man is in the welterweight division? I mean, you have all these catch weights and everything. What do you think about the catch weights and the belts right now? Do you think that these belts even hold any value now? Because, you know, you got so many champions, you got catch weights, and, you know, we can't even keep up. Just the regular boxing fans can't keep up with all these politics behind the boxing. What do you think about the catch weights and all these belts and, you know, the confusion right now in the welterweight division?
Better yet, Joshua, before you answer it, do you think that one of those guys would even fight you next? Would Cotto give you a rematch, or do you think Manny Pacquiao would even want to fight you?
Well, you see, I don't know, and I don't think that Cotto is going to give me a rematch. He's boxing. I don't know what is going to happen. Maybe along the line it's going to happen, but I don't know for now because me and him in the ring, it really don't get easy. And to be frank with you, he did not hurt me once in a fight. He's a very good fighter. I respect him. And he's doing, when we fought him, right, he's doing rough. I did not do nothing because I was thinking that he's a gentleman. We're gentlemen. We have to be cool in the ring. But he's hitting me in the back. He's hitting my dick and everything. But you see, I don't think that he's going to do a rematch. When we're talking about Pacquiao, Pacquiao is too small because when I fought with Pacquiao, right, Pacquiao is not going to do nothing to me. And I will tackle him to explain that he will regret. Because when he's going to fight with me, right, I'll make sure that I will never give him this fist. So, you see, with the size, I don't think that it's going to be a matchup. But about Cotto, I don't know along the line it's going to happen.
So, are you saying if Manny Pacquiao got in the ring with you, you would knock him out?
So I'll do him. You know, he's too small for me. He's too small in the ring. Not like he's not a good fighter. He's a very good fighter, but he's too small. He's too big. The size is too big. So if he's hitting me right, I will not feel his punches, and I'll make sure I'll go into him and make him say so many things. So I don't think that he can fight me. I don't think that Bobano is gonna do it.
If he fought you, he'll probably make you come down to 135 pounds.
I would not do that thing, to be fair with you. Let me tell you one thing about you're there, right? Let me tell you one thing about Pacquiao. Pacquiao is a fiery fighter coming up to this point, you see. And this is what he's doing. He's playing games. He's saving himself all the time with the fighters that come because he's too small. So he always wants them to come to me whereby they might feel weak and just jump on them. And the guy is fast. Pacquiao is very, very fast. And to be honest, he's going to give Cotto a lot of problems because, you see, he is too small. You're not going to get him. You're not going to hold him down unless you make sure that you're going to cut them. Show punches. You know, you have to show a lot of punches when you fight with Pacquiao because the thing is, the guy is too small. You're not going to see him there. He's not going to be there. He's going to move around. And at the same time, he's going to feel weak by making 145, by Cotto, making that 145 and 5 with a guy that is going to make 145 easy. You have to bring yourself to make that 145. At the same time, why do you have to do that? To me, to be fair with you, if I'm going to fight with Pacquiao, right, we're going to fight for 147. Or else the fight is not going to happen. Why do I have to kill myself and make 145 and 5 with a guy like that? No,
so two pounds does make a difference then, because people are saying 2 pounds don't make a difference. So in your eyes, it makes a difference.
It makes a difference. To be fair with you, when I fight with Cotto, right? Cotto, I think Cotto always train in the afternoon before the weigh-in. I think so. And you see, he always win 146. And when you see him, he's light. He's very, very light. Now he's gonna make 145, and that 145 is not like you already 146 that you're gonna make 145, but you have to calm down how much you weigh now. You have to up to 145. It's a very, 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 very different, to be fair with you. And when you finish, the weighing, after the weighing, you have to heat, and if you don't take time, you might heat too much. Because you don't want to heat too much, you have to heat to a extent that you become normal when you weigh 147. Then maybe you might feel weak, and the guy must move. The guy will move around and just beating you around. It makes a difference with Fauci. It makes a lot of difference. And Pacquiao is a very, very smart guy. He's a very, very smart in the ring. So, you know, couldn't make it 145 in front with you. As a matter of fact, it's not me, but I don't like it at all. That's why anybody asks me about the fight, I tell them that it's 50-55. Because 145 and going to the ring and fight with a guy like Pacquiao, you know, it's not easy for me to tell you that Conor is going to beat him. When it comes, Conor is a very strong guy. He's very strong that Pacquiao is not going to preach him. When Pacquiao want to preach him, he can't do because Conor is a very big, he's very big. But the thing is,
right,
if Pacquiao is going to stay there and throw his hands there, you need to watch Pacquiao in my first fight. Pacquiao is the kind of a guy, when you throw punches at him, he throw back at you. He always fight because of his country people. And he don't want to let his people down. So when you throw punches at him, he throw the punches back at you. That thing is dangerous. How can a Conor make 145 and just do, oh, die? You know, I was thinking, to be fair with you, I'm not backing nobody. I love all the two guys. I fought with Conor. I know what Conor can do, what he can do. I never fought with Pacquiao. I know Pacquiao is a very smart guy. He's going to be a very tough fight, which to me, Joshua Curry, I can never tell you who is going to win. When it comes to knockouts, I'm going to give it to Conor. When it comes to decision, I'll give it to Pacquiao. Unless Conor be Pacquiao to a extent that Pacquiao will never ever will never see nothing, and that too is gonna knock Pacquiao out. But if Pacquiao see him, Pacquiao is taking his punches, Pacquiao is throwing back at him, it's gonna be a very tough and long night for both of them.
Yes, sir. Wow. Hey, I have one more question for you. I just wanted to address this. A lot of people, when they talk about Joshua Clady, I've heard it a lot. They seem to think that sometimes Joshua Clady tends to hold back a little bit. Like, you know, you're not aggressive enough in the next part of the fight. What do you have to say to that?
You know, the thing is, I don't have to blame nobody, right? I blame myself because I always do fight with you. I swear in the nerve. I always fight in the ring by only Joshua Clady. I don't have a corner. I don't have a corner at all. The thing is, I always knew that boxing is boxing. Even the best trainer out there, Freddie Roach, Emmanuel Stewart, they always have fighters that they go to the ring with, that their fighters always get knocked out. You see? So I believe in you going to the ring and fight. My fight with Miguel Cotto, if they push me a level B, I'm going to knock Miguel Cotto out. Because, to be fair with you, I did not see what is going on in there. And my father did not tell me nothing like, Joshua, this is what's going to happen, this is what's happening. So I am a guy that people always like to say things about me, like, it's not like this, you do that. I have a different style in boxing. And, you know, when somebody is pushing you at the corner, I need somebody who's going to push me. My age and me, nobody can teach me nothing in boxing. But the only thing I need is somebody who's going to wake me up if I'm sleeping in the ring. Somebody will have to push me. You know, when the trainer was satisfied with the performance that I'm putting out there with Cotto fight, that's why I was relaxing because I don't want no accidental airbags or something like that. That's why I was taking it cool. But if, like, the trainer told me, Joshua, you know what is happening? You have to go all out these 2 rounds, do this and that and that. I'm going to go out there and do something because I know it's coming to a finish. But you see, I lost because the corner did not tell me anything. And I did not even lose that fight to a thing that I think I lost. Because when you go to round by round, you must see that the round by round are still throwing and land the best punches. But you see, it's like that. I can do anything about boxing because I always train, I condition myself for fights. You see, and I'm not a machine, I'm a fighter. I go in there and do my thing and show my hands. If the opponent don't want to stay there for me, for us to fight, he always going to be like, I have to chase him. How long am I going to chase him? How long am I going to get him? How long am I going to throw? You see, that's why I have to be aggressive.
So, Joshua, so do you regret
not knocking out Miguel Cotto on that second half? And after this question, we're going to pass it to Justin Strikehart.
You see, before the fight, everybody keeps asking, some of the journalists keep asking me that, I don't think that I'm going to win a decision. And I tell them that I can win a decision. It happens that I can't win a decision because I'm fighting with a guy, the hero, Parade, and his own stuff. So I think whatever they give to me, it's okay by me now because I think I'm cool. But I really regret that I did not knock him out. And if I fight with him again, it's going to be a different story.
Go ahead, Justin Strikehart. Ask Mr. Josh McCauley your question, brother.
Yes, Joshua, I just wanted to let you know I feel like I speak for a lot of people when I say that decision was definitely taken away from you against Cotto. And I'm interested in where do you lay the blame?
Buddy.
Where do you lay the blame in you not losing or not winning? Where do you blame the judges? Do you blame your promoter? Who is it that you hold responsible for that?
Well, I think, first of all, I hold the main responsible to the referee. You see, the referee was in the middle of the ring. He saw everything was happening. First, Cotto hit my dick. Two, he hit my back of the head. Three, he hit me. You know, at that point, he threw me down to the mat. He has to do something. He's almost full. He has to deduct a point. The last, when he hit me, the rabbit punches, he has to deduct. Never do. So after the fight, he came to my dressing room. He wanted to make amends with me, talking to me. I don't even want to mind him. But he was like, oh, he's boxing. I have to keep it cool. And he's like this and that. I said, okay, whatever, it's life. Two, uh-huh. I have to blame the judges. Because, you see, one of the judges that gave it to me, right, even if all of them make it draw, I'm really going to appreciate and understand the decision that it gives. But about the promoter is doing his job. He want to make his money. He want to promote the fight that he won. Whatever he do, unless he knows something about it, that is what I don't know.
Uh-huh. And now I wanted to know, I know you fight for your country, not just in the fact that for the pride, but you provide for Ghana. And what kind of effect does something like this have on the country itself?
You know, they're really, really, really sad, you know. They talk nice about the fight. They know that I got robbed. They know everything. They console me. They call me several times when I get to Ghana. They talk to me. They even console me a lot. They make me happy because, you see, when you're fighting for the nation and you lost, and the nation and everybody knows that you lost, that you're going to feel bad. You might be hurrying up to get to the ring and win so that you make them happy. But when they call you, they tell you that you fight, you got robbed, you do this, next time do this and that and that. You know, that makes you happy. You see, they call me, they really console me, they talk to me so much and I'm so happy. You know, so I really, really can't wait to get to the ring and win and make them happy.
My next question is, if you were to ever have a rematch with Cotto, let's just say hypothetically, he would give it to you. Would you fight him again at Madison Square Garden, or would you insist that it be held somewhere else? And I say that because the two judges that gave Cotto the decision had scored wins for him in the past and actually gave him identical scores.
I think when it happens that I feel with you, I love to fight in Madison Square Garden. It doesn't matter if I'm fighting with Cotto in the same place. But even now, if I'm going to fight in somebody's home camp, I have to make sure that I choose judges. I have to make sure that I protect judges. I don't do that. Like, I protect that this referee, I don't like him, this judge, I don't like him, because I respect everybody. That is the work they're doing. They do that for their life. They've been doing that for so long. They do that to take care of their family. The same thing, the same as me, do this back to take care of my family. So I don't want to tarnish nobody's image. I don't want to say, I don't like this referee, I hate this referee. No, I don't do that. But now, if I have a fight, I have to make sure that this judge is not from the opponent I'm going to fight this year is not from his hometown. I would never allow that because, to be frank with you, what they did to me really, really hurt. Because if, like, they give me that fight or they make it drop by now, I'm still moving straight.
Uh-huh. And I could see it in your facial expression after the fight, and you actually tried to leave without giving an interview to HBO. Did you consider after that fight, in that moment, that maybe you might not want to do this anymore? And did it take some convincing to maybe make you want to do this again?
Yeah, like after the fight, I really trained hard for that fight. And I know I'm going to be caught because to be fair, the guys don't want to fight me. They always reject to fight me. They always have excuses to give, not to fight me. So when Kodo give me that chance, I want to take advantage of that. You see? So when that thing happens, right, I really get a lot of confidence. I started thinking that, wow, you know, this is going to be a hard thing. You know, I have to stop this game and do different things. But when I get to Ghana, the people started calling me, giving me more morale, giving me hope. You know, they make me feel like home. They make me feel happy. And the people to me here started calling me, telling me, Joshua, you did good. You know, you won the fight. The rub. You know, that makes me feel like I have to get to the ring and win and make them happy. See, you know, it took a time, but not like long. Like maybe some few because of the people calling me, talking to me.
Can I say one last thing?
Go ahead,
I just
Josh.
Wanted to say to you, Joshua, I know you've had a lot of tough breaks with Carlos Baldomir, Antonio Margarito, with the disqualification and your hands being injured, and then with this Cotto decision. I just want to let you know, I think you're a very talented guy, and I think your day is only right down the road, man. You're going to make it big, and I can feel it. I know if you keep at it, you're going to be where you need to be and where you deserve to be. So good luck in your next fight, whoever it may be.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate whatever you tell me. Thanks so much.
We got the most feared man, if not the most feared man, one of the most feared men at 147, Joshua Kalati. Let's pass the mic on to 916 Chris out of Sacramento. Go ahead, Chris, and ask Joshua your question, brother.
Yeah, real quick question. You were talking about, you know, fighting and going back to home and stuff. Isaac Kalashweo just recently won a title, and he's also fighting out of Africa. Have you ever thought about fighting him, and not only fighting him, but what it would be like to fight him for the title in Africa?
You know, when that guy is talking about Isaac Watrari, right? Is that Isaac? Hello?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Isaac, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You see? That guy is a very good fighter. He's from Africa, South Africa, you see. But I don't think that as soon as they become a champion, they always choose opponents. They don't want to get to the road. You know, the tennis, I have to understand, the guys don't want to fight me. They keep giving excuses. I would love to fight with Ivy because I'm supposed to fight and defend my belt to him. But you see, when I get a call from Kodo Fight, oh, I have to unify the belt with Kodo. I just, wow, this is the fight that I want, fighting with a guy like Kodo. So I need to vacate my belt to fight with Kodo. So I am ready for it. I am ready to fight with him, even if it is South Africa. Because him, I know I will knock him out. Because he's still a young kid. If I fight with him, I'm going to knock him out no matter where we're going to fight. But the thing is, you know, the way it is, I'm not expecting no opponent to call me and fight with me. If the fight comes, the promoter call me, you're going to fight with this guy. He gives me contract, I sign. I know that it's a down deal.
All right. Another fight you had before in the past, the Antonio Margarito fight, that was a really close fight. You know, you were winning the first half of that fight, and then I know you had problems with your hands and whatnot. Based on what's been revealed with him, you know, tampering his hand wraps and stuff, is Margarito a guy you would fight again, or would you not want to fight him again just based on his actions and what he did as far as wrapping the hands? Is that a guy you wouldn't even want to fight?
I want to fight with Margarita. And to be fair with you, I wish I'll be the first person when it comes out to the suspension. I wish I'll be the first person that is going to fight with him. I have a problem. I have a problem with Margarita. I was winning a goal injury. And when Margarita is going to fight with Shane Muslim, I know Shane is going to beat him because Margarita is the kind of a guy when you throw punches at him, you don't get a defensive. by featuring. And you don't have to be serious fighting with Margarita. You have to take it like you're joking, you're beating him. I want to fight him, Margarita 1-2. I want to fight with Miguel Cotto. As for Calabandome, I don't think that he's ready to fight anymore. But the two guys have to fight because he's still best without out there. So I would love to fight with him.
All right. And my last question is real quick. You're a big welterweight fighter, and you've been fighting at this weight for a while. Do you have any plans in the future of moving up to junior welterweight, or do you think you can be a welterweight for the next, you know, couple of years or so?
You know, I would love to fight with Paul Williams if he's going to give me a chance to 154. I would love to fight him. I keep calling him. You don't know the reason why I keep calling him. I keep calling him because I know if I fight him, I'll make him know that this is me. See, the thing is, I want to fight him. If he's ready for him to give me the chance, I'll move up to 154. Apart from that, I'm still going to do whatever I do to do. I'm the best. I found him.
You know, Joshua, talking about really quick, you know, and then we're going to pass the mic on to David Chen, and then we'll go on from Jesse Rican real quick. But just to kind of retouch about the Margarito fight, okay, he was caught with plaster in the gloves fighting, you know, Shane Mosley, and it's already been kind of mentioned he may possibly be wearing it in your fight. Now, I was like, whoa, if he did have it in the fight with you, which I think he might have had it with you, how impressed are you with your chin? I mean, because you had to withhold some, you got to have a good chin or hold up from a guy that has cement in his hands.
You know, that's thing I think, Margarita, when you watch him, when you finish the fight, he never removed the pressure in the ring. He always go out to remove it at the dressing room. You never know how long he's been using that thing. I cannot tell you that he's been using that thing on me, but it's my he's using that. For everybody, the opening that he's been knocking out, you see. And he's a very, very strong guy. He keeps throwing, but he don't get a good defensive, you see. To be fair with you, I have to fight with this guy again, even if it is Mexico. I'll go there. I am the guy who always want to fight with the best guys out there. Even it doesn't matter if they are home or whatever. Even if it is their bedroom, I'll fight them.
We're going to pass down the mic to Mr. David Chen, Soloprex writer for There Will Be Blood. Go ahead, David Chen, ask your question to the most feared man, 147, Joshua Clowdy.
How you doing, Joshua? I got to say real quick that I think you're an excellent fighter, and whoever you fight next, I just hope to see you in the ring with somebody good sometime soon.
Thank you.
Now,
do you have a question for him, Dave? Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, I have a quick question first because I know a lot of fight fans want to know exactly what weight do you walk around at and what do you do in your spare time to keep yourself in good condition?
The thing is, I walk around 166, 167. And the thing is, I don't rest at all. When I finish fighting, as soon as, like, if I fight like maybe today, the next week I started training again. Because to be fair with you, I'm very, very big welterweight. Not even only my body, but my legs too are very big. So I don't want to sit down like 2 weeks without training. If I do that, the food is going to stop me. That if I started reducing, it's going to be a problem. Because I can remember when I'm going to fight with Diego Corrales. The day of the fight, you won't believe. The day of the fight, the day of the weigh, I weigh 159. The day of the weigh, you're supposed to make 147. The day of the weigh, 159. I was like, wow. I ran four times. Four times, end of the day, I weigh 153. Then I can't do nothing. They put me into a sauna. The sauna reduced the weight. Even I made 149. You see, so because of that, I don't want to sit down without training. If I started training next week, because I don't want to stop, I don't want to hit a lot.
Now, there's this belief out there that the reason why you haven't been able to really force some of these guys to fight with you is because you don't really have a huge fan base and you don't have the draw to attract the kind of big fights you would like to have. Do you feel that this has been true in the way you've been promoted?
About my promoters, right? Promoters always You know, you have, as a fighter, you have to have a good manager. That will give you the best fight. Because when the manager is good, talking on your behalf, the promoter is going to take you serious. I don't want to talk nothing about my promoter and my manager. I'm okay wherever I am, you know. I know it's not good, you know. It's not really like things are moving on smooth for me. But you see, in life, in this world, life is all about this. Life is too short. No matter what we do in life, making every money that we want to make, taking care of the family, one day we might die that we not see daylight, we not see darkness, we not even talk. We can't talk because that is the day that you have to face heaven and hell. So you see, whatever happens in my life, I give thanks to the Almighty God. Because I know life is not easy. Things are not moving on good with me at all. Because in front with you, even right now, if I had a fight, somebody out there have to be sick like 30%. Why do you have to do that? By his life, you still have to fight hard. Keep pushing to get to a point that you think that you're fine. So I'm okay. I don't want to say nothing against now, but when the time comes for me to retire, I'll retire.
Now, with
go ahead, Dan.
You've had some time now since the fight against Miguel Cotto, and people have spoken up. You've convinced so many fight fans that you've actually won the fight. And do you feel that, in a way, you are vindicated for it, that you've gained so many fans at the cost of maybe not winning an alphabet belt?
In American boxing, when you fought and you win, when the media and the people, the fans say that what you did was not good, you didn't do good at all, it's bad. They started talking bad things about you. But when you lose and the people say you won, the people are the main boxing. The people are the best. The people are those that you have to listen to. So when after the fight, the people were calling me, telling me that I won the fight, I did good and all kind of that, I was so happy. Because the people are those that they raise you up. So I'm happy about the people, the way they keep telling me.
That's all from me.
We have
Joshua.
Is that?
We have Joshua Kalani on Leaving the Ring. There Will Be Blood Fight Show, StatusFight.com. The most feared man, if not one of the most feared men at 147. Jesse Reekin, go ahead and ask your question, brother, to Joshua.
Yeah, how you doing, Joshua?
Yeah, I'm fine, man.
And the other guys touched on it, and I just wanted to get, I don't think it was like a yes or no answer for you. Do you think Antonio Margarito had loaded gloves when he faced you?
Well, you see, that was 2006. And you see, according to sources, when the cutting, right, the loaded thing that is using, they said there's blood on it. You might not know how long he's been using it. I can't say that it is down on me. I can't say that it doesn't use down on me. But you see, he was cut up. And he cannot tell the people the truth that he's been using that thing on this and that and that and that. But to be fair with you, when I fought him, I really, really conditioned myself a lot. So I never feel his punches. But if he used that on me, it's the truth. You don't have to do that.
All right, and after you lost against Cotto, Davila said that he would have to picture you having to face somebody like Paul Williams, where, you know, everybody's scared to face him, everybody's scared to face you. So it's kind of like you guys would have to meet. Do you think that matchup will ever happen?
Well, you see, the way Paul Williams is jumping to every week, I don't know. Because today it will be 154, tomorrow it will be middleweight, tomorrow it will be here. I don't know. But now I think Benadoki is going to give him a chance. He might fight with Benadoki. I don't know if he's going to come back to 147 and fight me. But I'm ready to fight with the guy. Because he saw me on a Facebook and he started insulting me. He has to settle the score. I really want to fight him badly. I keep calling him long time. And he don't want to fight me. He's calling himself the Musiere fighter.
Right.
Would you, willing to jump up to at least 154, maybe, to meet him halfway? Because, you know, there is talk of him possibly meeting Pavlik. Would you be willing to move from 147 to fight Paul Williams?
Yeah, yeah, I'll move from 147 to 5 for William in a half week so that it will be good for both of us. I'm ready to do that. If William is going to fight me.
My final question would have to be a prediction for Saturday night since there's a fight 2 days from now. Who do you got, Mayweather or Marquez?
Wow. To be fair with you, Marquez used to be the most my favorite fighter. He's a very, very good guy. When you watch his fight with Pacquiao, he's the guy that threw back the punches he threw back into our hands. And he's really going to give Mayweather problems. But you see, I really favor Mayweather to win. But it's not going to be easy for Mayweather because Marquez really want to fight this fight. Which is going to be a very tough fight, but I favor Mayweather a little bit. But I'm not going to surprise if Marquez won.
Would it surprise you if Marquez won?
Is that
what you said? It wouldn't surprise you if Marquez won?
I would not surprise if he won.
All right, thanks a lot, Josh.
Thank you.
Josh, well, let me ask you this. You know, Mayweather fighting Marquez, much smaller man. Miguel Cotto fighting Manny Pacquiao, much smaller man. Are you a little surprised, like even Mayweather, I mean, as a comeback fight, would you have wanted to have been that opponent for him? Are you surprised your name didn't even come out in mention about him fighting on a comeback fight?
Exactly. You know, that is what my country people were asking all the time. They always keep asking me that, when am I going to fight with Mayweather? And I always tell them that I'm ready to fight with anybody. I'm surprised, like, when he was coming from the retirement, you have to keep one of the top welterweight guys out there, like me, guys. If you don't want to fight, you have to fight with the welterweight. But right now, he's fighting with Marquez. Marquez is a lightweight fighting welterweight, or fighting 144 for the first time, you see. So, when he beat Marquez, right, people will talk, he beat Marquez, but they will not talk much, like, because Marquez is a lightweight. You see, but when he fight with a guy like me, he beat me, people will talk much. When he fight with a guy like Margarita, Shamusky, beat them, people will talk because we are all real welterweights, you see. But I'm not surprised because when fighters make all the money that they make in the boxing, right, then they started using their head. They started trying playing games. They don't want to fight with opponents that is going to give them problems to get injured. They always want to fight with people that they think they can just go to the ring and fight them and make their money without no injury. That's what they've been doing now. They just choosing people that they can fight to beat them. Even if the people are going to beat them, they're not going to get hit.
Do you think Manny Mayweather, Floyd Mayweather, do you think he's afraid of you by any ways, any means?
No. He's not afraid of me at all. No. I can't say that. The only thing is, I don't think that he chooses to fight me. Because maybe you know that I'm going to give him a lot of problems. And I will never sit down for him. Not at all. Maybe he knows that. But not like he's afraid of me, no.
If he's not afraid of you, Joshua, let's say if he never fights you, ever, could we possibly say he's afraid of you?
Well, you see, you are a media. You write boxing. You talk about boxing. You know how it is. You can go out and see. If you don't want to fight with this guy, you keep fighting. You know what? Let's give Mayweather a try. Mayweather coming from retirement, 2 years absence. He's fighting for the first time in 2 years. He choose Marquez, the lower guy, the lighter guy. Let's see how it happens. Maybe he might win. If he won, right, he want to fight again. Then he choose another lighter. Then we all have to come out and say that, you know what? You don't want to fight with the best guys out there. You're fighting with people like this. He's scared to fight them. But maybe because he's out of the ring for 2 years, he's trying to use Marquez as a warm-up. But it's not a warm-up fight. It's a very tough fight for him. But let's see if he won. Who is going to choose to fight next before we can come out and judge him? But for now, let's wait first. I will never say that he's scared to fight me or something like that. Maybe you might not know that he might choose me for his next fight. Then what are you going to say? You're already judging that he's scared to fight you. So let's see. If he finishes this fight and he chooses to fight with somebody and he want to fight with another lightweight or lightweight fighter, before we all going to come out and say that you're scared to fight with the best welterweight.
Shane Mosley, I mean, we've already talked about it. Curran Central may be the guy instead stepping into the ring with you. Are you up for that fight? Are you motivated for that fight? I mean, is this a fight that you truly want, or this is just something?
Canetito? Are you talking about Canetito? Hello?
I think he was asking you about Shane Mosley. Pretty sure he was asking you if you were training for Shane Mosley.
Yeah. I really want to fight with Shane Mosley. You know, no, you know, it's been like since 2004. I want to fight him when I was in Low Developer. The fight didn't happen. So when I heard that he want to fight me and he want to give me money, I don't even think about the money because I want to fight with Shane Mosley. But it's rather unfortunate whatever happens, you see. I hope along the line we're going to meet again.
If you were to fight Shane Mosley, do you feel like it'd be important for you maybe to up your punch output just because of his hand speed? Or do you plan on, if you were to meet up with him in the ring, to do what you normally do and work behind your guard and be very methodical about what punches you actually throw?
You see, he's not going to, when he's fighting me, he's not going to use his hand speed because I'm a counter puncher. He might throw his hands fine. Not like he's going to throw like he did to Margarita. When you throw punches at somebody and the person don't get a good defensive, you must keep throwing because when you throw, everything landed. But when you're throwing the person block a lot, you must think about how you're going to throw it to get the person. So, you know, opponents may fight, you know. I wish the fight happens. There, we will know what is going to happen.
David Chen, are you out there still?
Yes, sir, and I believe we got Ruff back. I think he disconnected for a second.
Okay.
What's up, man? House real quick and charge it up real quick. Joshua, I don't know how much of my question you heard from me, but I was saying, you obviously, it doesn't sound like we're going to get Shane Mosley in the ring with you. It sounds like Curran Central is going to be the candidate of stepping in the ring with you. Are you up for that fight? Is that a fight that you truly want to take on, or is it something that it's just you have to take in order to pay the bills, you know, the bills at home?
Ooh, I want to fight with Kamechito. You know, Kamechito, we used to talk. We used, when we see at a fight, you always talk to each other in a nice way. But when Sito was a champion, I wanted to give me a chance for us to fight in the ring, for me to become a champion. I don't want to do that. Then we started fighting like enemies. So I keep calling him. So when I become a champion, I want to give him a chance to defend my title to him. What he's supposed to do that I don't want to do. Yes, still don't want to fight my best. And he moved up in 154 and fought with Martinez. So it's the fight that I want to fight, you know. I want to fight with Kamechito. I wish he took the fight so that we're going to fight 5 December. I am ready for him.
Is there anybody else on the panel, Dave? We have any fans that want to ask Joshua, Kaladi, really quick. You know, we've had him on for an hour. We don't want to take too much time that's left for him. But anybody else on there that wants to get on with him?
I believe a close friend of the show, Rob from Puerto Rico, is on the line.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead, Rob,
hey,
and ask
Kaladi
the question.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, who was the fighter you looked up to the most growing up and getting into boxing?
Can you come again?
Who was a fighter you looked up to the most going into your boxing career?
I think Akwasi from Ghana. I used to start with him a lot. So I used to... When I spy with him, I think most of the techniques and all kind of that. So he's a guy, but now he's no more in the game, you know. So right now I'm just looking at me, fighting.
No, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Anybody else, Dave?
Just us, brother.
I actually wanted to ask one more question, if I could.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, Joshua, do you think that Guyana has the toughest fighters out of every country?
Who?
Guyana.
Who are you calling?
I wanted to know if you think Guyana has the toughest fighters. It's the country with the toughest fighters.
Okay. My country is Ghana. It's not Guyana. Ghana.
Ghana. I'm sorry, Ghana.
Yeah. when we're talking about African boxing, Ghana have the best and toughest fighters. We are the best when it comes to boxing. No South African fighter is gonna beat a Ghanaian fighter in a top level. Because, you know, Ghana, we learn a lot. We don't have equipment there. And even we train in somewhere that you can't even imagine. But South Africa, they have everything. They have everything. They have equipment because the whites used to live there. But in Ghana, there's nothing there. But we are very, very tough because of the mentality. We have like area. And you know the area where you belong from, they always want you to win because if you lose, the next area man laugh at your area people. So, you know, when you come to the ring, this is what you always think. You're thinking that if I lose the fight, these people are going to laugh at me. They're going to laugh at my people. They're going to insult my mother. So I have to win. So my mother and my father will be happy, and they would love to pass where those that the enemies are. Part of that always motivates you to win the fight. So, you know, when you get to the ring, you want to win, you know. So we are always tough in the ring.
Absolutely, brother. Well, Joshua, man, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. You know, it's an honor. I know everybody on here, man. We've been trying to get you on with us for quite some time, and we're just happy that we finally got the chance to talk to you so we can get a lot of questions from you and hear your part on certain particular fights, man. And we wish you the best of luck, and we'll root for you every time you step into that ring.
And Mitchell, I want to thank everybody who asked me questions. May God bless you before. Thank you.
Thank you very much again, brother. And until the next time to get you on Leaving the Ring. Take care.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brian.
Well, there you go, man. We had just the most feared man, 147, if not the most feared man, Joshua Kaladi, and he was great. I mean, I think he answered a lot of things that we wanted to know about, and I'm pretty sure hardcore fight fans wanted to know about. You know, this is somebody that we've been working really hard to get, and we finally got him thanks to, once again, our girl Serafina, who's always taking care of her boys from leaving in the ring, no matter what. You know, Blood, a.k.a. Iron Lung, brother, what did you think about the God of Warrior, man? Is it everything that you thought it was going to be? I mean, the guy was... He was on. Every time he answered the question, he was just straight up to the point.
Yeah, he was really to the point, man. He's, you know, he's not as soft-spoken as I thought he was. He's a very respectable guy, but, you know, he made some good points, man. I liked what he said about the welterweights, about summing up the welterweight picture. And, you know, man, I really appreciated talking to him, man. What more can I say? A stand-up guy.
You know, even got to the point, I thought he was going to take out the gloves with Jesse Reekin really quick, man. He was like, what
yeah, you heard that, right? I thought so, too. I thought he was about to challenge me to a fight.
Hey, Rob, really out of Puerto Rico, I don't know if we know, you noticed we got your twin on the line. Guy just joined in with Leaving the Ring and stuff, and it sounds identical to you. So you may be able to switch the piss streak, man, and have this dude take it for you.
Oh, yeah, for real? Thank you. Okay. If I ever meet Claudy in person, I'm going to blame that question on him.
Yeah. You know, Strike Coward over here, you know, was able to, you know, talk to him a little bit and you know, ask him some particular questions. But for a minute, God, Strike, I thought you were going to pull out some lip gloss over here, dog. You know what's going on?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to Strike Heart.
Yeah. No. But you know what, though? There's sometimes when I see him interviewed and even when I'm watching him fight, and then especially when I was talking to him tonight, there's some people you just feel a kindred spirit with. Not to get all homoerotic or nothing, but I do really feel like me and Claudie click on a different level. So you could call that whatever you want, man, but I'm glad you picked up on that.
Oh, my God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
What's bothering Strikeheart? Oh, man,
Oh, it's all good, brother. You know, there are, like you said, there are particular fighters that, you know, you feel a certain connection with, because either you know, he resembles something that you represent, you know, or it could be the fact that he may come from the same background you're from, the country, or even creed, religion. It doesn't matter. There are
right.
certain particular fighters out there that we do seem to cling on to, or even commentators, you know, like I'm a huge fan of Teddy Atlas. That's a dude that, you know, I could just sit there and enjoy what he's saying. I may not particularly agree on his predictions. You know, someone's prediction, I may be like, come on, Teddy. Because he likes to go against the grain on certain things, you know. But I was really surprised, man, and how fluent he was in answering questions. I mean, he didn't hold back any punches, you know. And, you know, and he was pretty solid about where he stood at on some of the particular questions that were asked to him. You know, he was like straightforward. This is what it was, this is what it is, and this is how it's going to be, and nobody's going to turn me around about my thought of whatever was in front of him. 916 Chris, man, any final thoughts about Mr. Joshua Kalati having him on Leaving in the Ring?
Yeah,
don't mispronounce his country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to stop, man. After hearing his answers to my questions, I might have to deem him the new most feared man in boxing. I mean, not only does the dude say he'd fight Margarito again, where I don't know that many fighters that would want to fight Margarito again. Just, you know, I don't know if it's out of disgracing the sport or fear of him trying to pull that stuff again. Not only does he want that rematch, but he straight up said he wants Paul Williams, and he thinks Paul Williams doesn't want him. You know, we always hear about everyone ducking Paul Williams, but at least from what he's saying, it sounds like Williams doesn't want to step in the ring with him. So, you know, he's got my respect even more than he already did.
And that's the thing that really amazes me, because if you really look at the ledger of fighters that this guy has stepped into the ring with, there's no argument that this man will be willing to fight anybody. You know, I mean, including in the back alley. This guy is willing to lace it up. If not lace it up in the ring, definitely just do what he needs to do to get that ends meet that he's looking for. So by calling up Paul and then saying, yeah, I'll leave 147 and fight him. He's the only person I would leave for. That's got to tell you a major lot about him and stuff. And you know what? I can't remember exactly. I think it was Blood, you know, our close Blood, that mentioned Andre Brito. And really, honestly, I was like, I don't know if anybody heard me in the background. I was like, man, leave that boy alone. Leave him alone. That's not Andre Brito. Leave Andre Brito alone. Let him grow. Don't make him the next Fernando Vargas at 147. Let that man, let him be and stuff. David Chan, man, any final thoughts about Mr. Joshua Kalati?
Well, shoot, I really like what he said about the Super 6 tournament, and he, you know, he basically summed up the whole fight game right there. He said you have to be willing to lose the game, right? You got four guys in that tournament who got perfect records, and three of them has got to go by the end of that. And that's the great thing about boxing is you're willing to risk yourself in order to gain greatness. Now, a lot of fighters obviously don't do that. You know, I'm not going to name names. You know, I just thought he was really good. He really summed it up quite well when he said,
Name some names. Name some names. You know, because, you know, the listeners are going to be like, who, man? Come on, who?
All right, homeboy who has some tax troubles who might have to get a couple of paydays. That's all I'm going to say, okay? But another thing I liked about Kalati is he paid Miguel Cotto his respect because, you know, going off of what he said earlier, you know, Cotto did risk his belt. You know, he fought a guy that a lot of people weren't looking to in order to, you know, try to, you know, gain his own greatness, add to his own legacy. And, you know, it was good to hear him say that he doesn't blame Cotto for any of this stuff. You know, even though he might disagree with the decision, he respects Cotto as a fighter, which I think most fight fans do as well.
Blood, a.k.a. Iron Lung, what you think, man? What was your last and final thoughts about Mr. Joshua Kalati?
Man, I just wish that somebody would give him a chance, man, and that they would sum up. He's the poster boy of what boxing is all about today, man. You know,
what do you mean give him a chance? He's had his chance still, Blood. I mean, he's fought Cotto, fought Margarito. You mean, he's fought some tough guys out there, you know? I mean, I think his chance has been given.
Well, he needs... You know, he's been ripped off, man. You know, I mean, come on, he's another chance, you know. I mean, he's fought these guys, man. There's been a lot of controversy, and hopefully that won't hurt him down the line. Let me rephrase that. Hopefully those past fights won't hurt him, and he will get more opportunity to rephrase what I was saying, you know. And because, you know, he's seen as the most avoided man right now, welterweight, and we don't want this to continue. We want to see this man fight some of the best guys out there. He should be up in the mix with the top fighters.
Absolutely, man. You know, Jesse Ricci, who almost got his lights punched out by the God of Warrior, what are your final thoughts about him being on Leave It in the Ring, brother?
Well, not yet. I mean, you know, he was definitely, it was definitely cool that he gave Cotto his respect. I disagree with a couple of you guys that you guys think that he won that match. I think Cotto won that 7-5.
I thought he won it also.
I thought Cotto won.
Ring generalship counts for something, baby.
Don't get started. I can just hear the chapstick coming out.
I gotta set the record straight on that, man. For those of you who don't know, I'm married to a woman. I got a ring on my left hand, on my ring finger. I'm a married man. I'm not gay.
Sounds a little insecure there, Strikehearts.
No. No, I got nothing against gay people, but I ain't one of them, man. I got a few friends, but that ain't me.
Brother, I'm sorry, we know you're not, brother. You know, we're yanking your chain over here, man.
I know you are, but that doesn't mean I got to be quiet about it.
I better be quiet because I don't want to end up on Strike Card. What's bothering Strike Card next episode? You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
You better
not.
Hey, Dave, can we got any boxing news out there that we need to report? Because I know there's a lot of things that are coming down in boxing, man. There's a lot of stuff happening, and right now, Leave It in the Ring, we got to, you know, keep the pot up with it. We got to make sure that our heads are above water with all the news that are just kind of filtering down to us so that we can report on here on our live boxing radio show.
Well, first of all, a certain fighter that we might know who has just recently come back and is about to have his big comeback fight, he's having even more tax troubles. In case you were wondering whether or not Floyd Mayweather Jr. is coming back to make more money, right now he's having legal troubles over a luxury car that apparently he hasn't paid off. I mean, what can we make of that? You know, maybe the man really is broke. I don't buy into all this stuff I see on 24/7, him living in the big boy mansion. I mean, that's for TV. I don't know if I can believe that. Maybe he's on the verge of losing that big boy mansion.
The bank sold the car for $196,000, leaving a balance of $167,192 on the contract. The bank is also looking to recover the cost for the legal expenses against Floyd Pretty Boy, a.k.a. Money Mayweather. I don't know. It seems to me money may possibly be really in need of money. Not only just to fill in his ego, but to fill in his pocket to make sure he's not filling himself in a cardboard box. Blood, what do you think?
Well, man, if it's true, you know, he needs to stop trying to be such a high roller all the time and impress everybody. Maybe he just needs to chill out and, you know, take this next money he make and invest it well, man, because he ain't going to be able to do this forever. He's already in his 30s, so he needs to make some wise decisions. But once again, you can't believe everything you read. We don't know for sure if his money situation is bad or if he's straight right now. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know. But if it is all true, you remember Shane Mosley. Remember what Shane Mosley said when he came on the show. So the rumor is out there, brother.
The rumor is out there, man. And let's not forget, too, that most people that hit the lotto, in within 10 years, they're broke. This is very common. Very common with people that don't have, normally come from broken homes or come from the hood. When you get a lot of money, we act a fool. It's common. You know, we don't know how to receive money because we never had it. So we end up, you know, buying things that really are way out of our means or something, or buying things that we really don't need. It's not a necessity. So should we bag on this man? I wouldn't, because he's only human, and I'd probably make the same mistake too. What do you think, Blood? I mean, would you make the same mistake? I mean, this is a young cat. Regardless, he's 30 years old. This man was a millionaire by the time he was, what, 23, 24 years old?
I wouldn't make the same mistake, brother. You know what I'm saying? Maybe about 10 years ago I would have, but not now, buddy. Hell no. I'd be investing my money. I'd be sitting, chilling. I'm not really materialistic anyway, so. But I could see it happen, people. You know, like you said, most people who win the lottery end up broke. And Mayweather, you know, he's made some pretty good money in the sport, but you know, a lot of people did. Mike Tyson did. You know what I'm saying? Some certain people end up investing their money well. Larry Holmes ended up investing his money well. He owns banks and stuff now. So, you know, it just depends on what kind of guy you are. Floyd is money Floyd. So he's going to want to flash. He's going to want to look good in front of the camera, have the nice cars, the platinum around his neck. We've heard him bragging about these things before. So, you know, maybe he needs to, you know, chill out a little bit, invest his money, you know.
I heard that, man, because if not, your name's definitely going to be changed to Bankruptcy Floyd. And, you know, you got that old saying, you see my ones, you're going to see my guns. And hopefully he's got his eyes on his money, because right now it looks like the bank has got his eyes on his money. So, you know, let's move on in there, man. And, you know, this past weekend I was up in Palm Springs. I had a chance to play golf with Jimmy Lennon Jr. Boom Boom Mancini, talking about a guy that invested his money in all the right places. He was out there playing some golf, and first time ever to play golf, we had Alfredo Edberto Angulo out there with me. And surprisingly or not, it was my first time out there to, you know, get on the wear all nothing but yellow with the yellow hat, you know, where people think you're a smoker, but you're not, you know what I mean? I'm out there wearing the gear and had a blast, you know. And right now we got a boy, a PR, for leaving in the ring, Machine Gun Red, trying to set something up that we can all possibly invite the listeners and fans of Leaving in the Ring and get some fighters out there so we could do another golfing tournament, because this golfing tournament was for Lee Espinoza. Great turnout, man. Had a blast. So I found the only way to really kind of give everybody the idea of how much fun I had out there in Palm Springs was for us to hold the event from Leaving in the Ring. You know, so we're trying to get that in the works and hopefully have it around maybe in March or February. Hopefully it all boils down to we can have it. God willingly lets us and allows us to have this event. We'll have a chance to have all of us from Leaving in the Ring and the people that listen and support us be out there to maybe play some golf with some other guys. Even though if you never played, I never played. I was chucking some of the grass out there, blood. You know what I mean? I think I left the grass bald out there. I'm surprised they didn't even charge me. That's how much grass I took off the ground. You know what I mean? The ball was there. And for a minute, people were staring at me because I kind of turned into that dude Happy Gilmore and shit. You know, and that's your home. Why won't you go to your home, you know what I mean?
man, I'd die to see you out there playing golf, man. It would be some funny shit.
I'm telling you, dog. Hey, I was swinging that golf club like if I was trying to hit a pinata, brother. You know what I mean? I thought there was going to be candy flying out of the ball and shit.
Oh, man, I would have screwed it up too, bro. I would have been right.
Hey, Angulo actually, surprisingly, he did really good. I'll tell you, funny, this is a funny thing about the guy, though. After the ninth hole, right, everybody was burnt out. You know, Lee Espinoza was just kind of laying there and stuff. Alfredo Angulo, his trainer, you know, Clemente, he took off his shirt. That's how hot it was. It was like 104, 106, first off, okay? So like, he was just bearing on us, man. It blanketed everywhere. There was no shading on the golf course, on the green. So you're just out there in the midst of this heat, man, and you're just, you know, you're drowning out with all this heat just kind of just beaming on your back and stuff. But after night, well, everybody's done. Everybody's old. I see Boom Boom Man. See, this guy looks like he's been running 15 miles. He's just drenched in sweat, okay? I see Jimmy Lennon Jr., same thing. Everybody's burnt out. The only dude that keep playing was Angulo. And I said, isn't that ironic? This guy's named, his nickname is El Perro, which is the dog. And like a typical dog, this dude keeps chasing the ball. The guy wouldn't stop through the whole thing. So we had to wait until we was finished, you know, all the way down to the 18th, or what is it, 19th hole. And then we were done and went back to go eat. But we had a blast. It was a great, great time and stuff, man. And like I said, I definitely want to share that with everybody else. So we're going to try to set something up for Leaving in the Ring to have our own golfing tournament to get everybody out there and everybody get a little bit of the taste of the heat and the experience of trying to hit a ball like if you were swinging at a piñata. Anyways, any other news in Golden Boy? Golden Boy is trying to set up a match with Madonna versus Khan under the Librado and Butte undercard. I don't know. What do you think? Good matchup for Khan? I'm going to go with Jesse Reakin real quick. Good matchup for Khan, or is this a fight that he needs to avoid at the moment?
I'd say a fight he needs to avoid at the moment.
Why do you think that? I mean, you think even though Madonna was able to do what he needed to do against Victor Ortiz, he did have some hiccups on the way of getting his victory over Victor Ortiz. I mean, Khan is obviously a must fighter, a much faster guy. I don't know if he's a much more polished fighter than Victor Ortiz, but
you think that, I mean, come on, I mean, come on. He's got some skills, too.
I mean, it's going to be a great matchup for the fans, but I could really see Khan losing this fight. Medina's punch is too hard. Like, he packs a real hard punch, and we all seen what happened with Khan when he felt the wrath of a hard punch. But I think Khan should just sit back and wait for the Ricky Haddon match, make the money there, give the fans a good match, and make your money. You know, he's going to throw it away with this Medina match because Medina is going to beat him. That's what I'm seeing it as.
Strikecard, you agree with them, man, or you got a little bit different point of view about this fight if it does materialize? Should it materialize, and why?
I think it's a good matchup. I don't think that necessarily Medina comes away the winner. I think that the mistake that Khan could make would be to fight in any way, shape, or form similar to the way Ortiz fought him. If you have boxing skill, you can beat that guy. And Ortiz he came in with the wrong game plan and never really changed his mind about coming in there to really fight. If you can box Maidana, you can beat Maidana. And Khan certainly can do that, but at the same time, he is a little chinny, or at least we all think he is. So it is a dangerous fight for him just in the fact that if he gets hit with one clean punch, that could be lights out. But it's a good match. I would definitely be excited to see it just for all the reasons that I just laid out. I don't know if I could pick a winner on the phone right now, but Khan stands a really good chance as long as he can stay away from those power punches.
What do you think is more deserving right now? I mean, because obviously the name right away, okay, well, they're trying to materialize it, Madonna versus Khan. But there's a couple of fighters in that division that are saying, hey, listen, I'm a little bit more deserving. I'll even take less money. I'll do what I need to do to step in the ring with Madonna. You got Kendall Holt, Nate Campbell, Steve Forbes, Anthony Peterson, and even Devon Alexander the Great. Who's more deserving? Is Khan more deserving than any of these guys I just mentioned? Or is there anybody out of that little roster of fighters I just gave out right now more deserving than Khan?
Well, I'm a big Kendall Holt fan. So for me, my favorite out of that will be Kendall Holt versus Medina.
Yeah.
I heard Nate Campbell was your favorite fighter. What are you talking about? David Chen, what do you think? Who's the more deserving guy rather than Khan?
I mean, I think Kendall Holt can make a pretty good case for himself. He's always been a consistent 140-pounder. I don't even know how Amir Khan got this title shot to begin with. You see what I mean? He kind of just cherry-picked his way into one of the title straps and, you know, alphabet straps. And honestly, who knows how he's even going to be able to hang with these guys. It was one of those things where he's going to win it and he's going to have to give it up immediately, or he's going to get knocked out by one of these guys. I think Kendall Holt has a pretty good case for himself, and Nate Campbell, not so much.
Chris 916, man, Madonna obviously right now is the lotto for a lot of people at getting this win over Victor Ortiz in a spectacular fight, a back-and-forth war. But is he giving a little bit too much credit at this moment, or is the credit a due? I mean, is this the right way of crediting this man where all these fighters are calling him out?
I wouldn't say that he's getting a lot of credit. I mean, the way I look at it is if a lot of guys are calling him out, that's because they saw a lot of flaws in his fight against Victor Ortiz, and they think he's, you know, he's a beatable fighter. You know, I don't think they're looking at him as like the man to beat necessarily. I think they see a guy that, you know, isn't the perfect fighter. Sure, he's got power, but he's also got a lot of weaknesses that Ortiz exposed, you know, and they're thinking, all right, I can get in there with him, and, you know, I could take this guy out, work on capitalize on what Ortiz did in there and get a belt, you know. So that's what I think the deal is. That's why I think so many people are trying to call him out. You know, they're looking at a champion that's a good fighter, but maybe isn't the toughest matchup out there. But, hey, man, real quick, though, only because I know we got a half hour left, man, before we go, I want to hear people's takes on the Mayweather-Marquez. Particularly, I want to hear if anyone thinks, you know, Marquez is going to win or, you know, has a shot or what with this fight.
I want Marquez to win. I think he does have a shot. I'm just banking off the fact that I'm hoping Mayweather's got ring rust after a year and like 8 months absence. I hope that ring rust kicks in. I hope there's a lot of factors that play in. I hope his mind is not there because of the IRS thing. But I can't see Marquez winning. I'm going to be happy if he does, but I can't see it. If I had to make a prediction, it would have to be Mayweather unanimous decision 12.
Well, I'm still going to go with where the money I think is going to be right in my wallet. I'm going to go with Money Mayweather. I still think that he could take it. I think he's the bigger man. He's the more skillful person in this fight. I think he's going to make Marquez fight his fight. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I might be wrong. I mean, my heart is with Marquez, but my money's got to go with Money Floyd Mayweather, man. David Chen, who you got?
I pick my brain on this because I'm really trying to look at it from both perspectives. You know, I try to see, does Marquez have anything going for him? And I just don't see it. I literally can't think of one single factor, reasonable factor, that'll lead me to believe that Marquez would beat Floyd Mayweather. So if it turns out that something crazy happens on Saturday night, then it would have been something completely out of my mind, out of my knowledge in terms of boxing. But one funny thing about this pay-per-view, though, I mean, we all knock Floyd and stuff like that. We all say he takes, you know, he makes fights that he shouldn't make. And this is one of them. This is a fight that a lot of people criticize him for taking. And even then, I'm going to pay to see it. Because, and this is my reason, is one, if for some reason Marquez wins this fight, it'll be the biggest thing I've experienced personally as a fan. So I'm not going to miss the opportunity. And two, my attitude toward Floyd Mayweather is, if he's going to get beat, especially if he's going to get knocked out by somebody, I got to make sure I'm there for that. You know, it's not knocking on Floyd or anything. It's just, I got to make sure I'm there for that as a fan. So I'm going to watch every single one of his fights.
It's not knocking on Floyd, but I want to see him get knocked out. That's what you're saying, right?
Basically. You know, like as a fight fan, I don't want to be, you know, 10 years from now, hey, man, what were you doing when Floyd got knocked out by Juan Manuel Marquez? I don't want to be the guy that says, hey, I didn't buy it.
I was in the bathroom.
I was watching UFC.
I was watching UFC 103.
Oh, that's cold. That's cold. It's cold, man.
It's not knocking a UFC. I'm just saying.
No, I know. You're not knocking, but you know who's buying that card. You know, got Chris 916 over there. He's saying he's going to watch UFC.
Hey, man, talk to me after the fight. Let me know what happened. If it turns out like a Floyd De La Hoya, we'll see who's laughing.
Listen. See, If as a fight fan, I didn't see Floyd get knocked out when he gets knocked out, that's like the guy who didn't go vote for Obama or something. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things I don't want to tell the grandkids. They're going to ask me, where were you? I'm going to be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be that guy. I want people to say, hey, man, I was right there in front of the TV. I had a great time.
That actually happened to me when Roy Jones got knocked out. I wasn't in the room.
Oh, man. I was in the room. I was in the room, and I was about to take a swig of my beer when I lift the bottle up. And I'm, you know, pouring it in my mouth. I seen it. He just went boom. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? I was sitting like, oh, man. But it is what it is. And you're right. If Floyd gets an upset, you're going to have to put in the same breath of Buster Douglas upsetting Mike Tyson, because I just don't see it happening, man. I mean, this is something major, you know. And Mark, I mean, you know what? Take nothing away from Marquez. Great, great fighter, okay? You know, but this is what I got to say. This is what I have to say about this. Is he the best fighter out of Mexico right now? Yes. But who's the best fighter in the world? Floyd Mayweather Jr., right? Can we all agree on that?
Boxing-wise, skill-wise?
No, I don't know about that. No.
What about Manny Pacquiao?
I don't know about that, bro.
I say he's the best fighter in the world right now because he hasn't been beaten. You know what I'm saying? And in my opinion, the best fighter out of Mexico fighting the best fighter in the world is just two different things. That's my problem with it, and that's why I'm going to still lean with Floyd. But like I said, do I want Marquez to win? Yeah, you damn right I want him to win. I want him to shut down Floyd's, you know, gravy train for the moment. Be the banker that takes that last check out of his hand.
But he deserves a loss on that record, though. He deserves the loss against Jose Luis Castillo 1.
He does deserve that loss, but it's not on there. It's not in black and white. So, in all reality, Jesse, it doesn't exist.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? To the fight fans, to the Floyd huggers, it don't exist. And they'll sit there and they'll argue your point. Because in a lot of ways, They like to see things. Guys that are not a real hardcore fight fans, first off, they're the casual fans. They need to be visual. You know what I'm saying? They don't have any imagination. Or really, honestly, let's just be honest about it. They're not realistic about what's really in front of them. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that's it's too realistic for him that he lost to Jose Luis Castillo. They're going to be like, nah, he didn't lose that fight.
Yeah,
it's not on his record.
Dave, real quick, I got a caller from the area code 803. Caller, you got any thoughts on Mayweather versus Marquez?
Yeah, dude, how you doing? This Tom's from Columbia. Dave, my man, sorry I hadn't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, brother, what's going on, man? How you doing, brother?
I'm pretty good. Just, you know, personal, a lot of kids I got to take care of, so I never got back with you. And by the way, I enjoy the show. Just want to say hi to all your co-hosts and everything, too. I've been listening, keeping up with everything. But I do have a I'm going to go out and I'm going to say I'm going to go ahead and call the upset. I believe Marquez is going to win this fight. And I guess the reason I'm saying is that just when someone touched on the Bust Douglas Mike Tyson, I believe that there are some personal issues going on with Floyd Mayweather. I think
mm-hmm.
there's smoke, there's fire. I think that you know, I just got that feeling that you know there's some issues going on with his trainer, with Roger Mayweather. That happening, that this layoff could possibly come up. I mean, true, you know, he's saying all the right things about leaving outside influences outside and taking care of business in the ring. But I also look at, although Marquez is coming up in weight, he's not coming up that much. And his last five or six opponents, the quality, these have been some of the very top fighters. You know, there's the talk of Juan Diaz and him getting hit a lot, but, you know, he was still a young fighter who was considered a top fighter. I just look at a few things that just are adding up to a potential upset. I'm not going to say how, but I'm also buying the fight for that same reason. I don't want to see Floyd Mayweather get beat. I really think he's good for boxing, but I've just got this gut feeling that the great thing would be for him to fight Manny Pacquiao, but somehow there's going to be...
Tom, let me ask you this, though. Are you leaning because of the fact that you saw the man drink urine, thinking that, okay, this is what's going to be?
No, I'm going to tell you that was on my mind. I said that this guy's insane, you know, quail eggs and urine. But honestly, that was in the back of my mind. But to be honest with you, I really just believe that it's more Mayweather's side. I think that Marquez has been active. He's been at the top of his game, and that honestly, you know, Floyd was never a big welterweight. So I just don't buy into that size issue. I mean, they're really when they get in that ring. Now, you know, we haven't seen the weigh-in or anything, so but I've got another feeling, you know, once you see maybe the pre-fight, I don't know, that old adage of you seeing the guys right before they get the introductions, I might change my mind, and you can almost feel something's going to happen. So I might change my mind, but at this point I think it's because of really what's in Mayweather's side, what's going on with just this layoff, some of the injuries, some of the other things catch up. If Marquez doesn't get on Marquez and start scoring early, that there may be some doubts that creep in his mind that that this could be a long night. I'm just looking forward to this fight. So I'm going to call the upset. If I'm wrong,
I'll call back in. I'm definitely looking forward to this fight. I got to tell you that. You know, in the beginning, I was one of the first to say I didn't want to see this fight. I thought this was not a good matchup between both guys. Because counterpuncher versus counterpuncher. And the more and more I speak to fight fans like yourself, Tom, other guys, you know, that you know, email me or I run into, go to the press conference, they talk to me, what do you think? The more and more I'm starting to see the boxing community is divided in this matchup. You go to the website, there will be blood and stand and fight. You see on the voting log, everybody is completely divided in this match, even to the point that right now the voting percentage is higher for Marquez. A lot of people think that he can KO Money Mayweather. Now, whether or not he can do it, I can't say it's not a possibility, you know what I mean, Tom? Because we both know this is the reason why we watch boxing. It's for to find out what are these measurements of
of ifs are in this sport, you know, because there's so many ifs in this sport, and that's what intrigues us as hardcore fight fans. That's what keeps us glued to the tube. That's what keeps us coming back, you know. I've always compared us as that housewife that gets beaten by the old man with the white beater shirt. We don't get enough. We seem to just get stuck on there time after time, and that's why we watch this sport. So do I think he could pull it? There's a possibility, yes. You know why? Because if you got a mind and you got two hands and 2 feet and eyes, you can do anything. But my money is going to stay with the pretty boy at this moment. I personally think that Money Floyd Mayweather is going to stop Marquez. I don't think Marquez is going to be able to hold on to the speed. I think when you talk about the caliber of speed between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, it's different. Manny is a valiant speedster, a guy that comes forward. So Marquez has been able to time that. He's been able to adjust to that. With Floyd Mayweather is a silent speed guy. He's a guy that makes you come forward. He's a guy that allows you to make the mistakes and take the risk, and he capitalizes it. And that's where it kind of holds me down at bay at the moment, at the edge of my seat, while I'm wondering, how is Marquez going to dictate that? How is he going to take control of a man that's not going to give that table up? That's my question.
Dave, I got a question for you.
Right? Go for it.
With this, you know, with all the episodes of 24/7, how much do you think people like us, you know, when we try to break down the fights, how much can we even take from the episodes of 24/7? I mean, you look at Marquez. It's Marquez, the hard worker. Marquez, a family man, building the sympathy, you know, showing him hard at work. Then you see Floyd is Floyd the braggart. You know, he's playing dice in his big mansion with his family. You don't really see him training. And when you do see him train, they close the door so you don't see him sparring, so on and so forth. But you see Juan Manuel Marquez, and he looks pretty strong. He looks pretty fast. He looks pretty sharp. Now, can we even take anything from that when we try to break down these fights? Or is it just one of those cases where the hype machine is in full force to make sure people are actually going to buy this fight?
This is my thing about that fight, man. This is what I take, and I think this is where it's pretty funny. Is when you watched, when I was back when Oscar De La Hoya and Manny Pacquiao were going to face each other, I was at the gym with Manny, and I was watching him spar. I had a chance to see him spar against Amir Khan, and the producers of 24/7 were there. I was able to have a chance to talk a little bit to the producer. I can't remember his name. I forgot what his name was. And you know what? He said something, man, that really kind of hit home with me. He said, having the experience and having the chance to do this filming of 24/7, he's had a chance to really realize what it takes to be great in this sport. And I said, then what is that? He said, road work. If you got no road work, you're not going to win. Everybody that seems to have road work, which was Floyd Mayweather when he fought Oscar De La Hoya, he had road work. Joe Calzaghe facing Roy Jones, he had road work. He said, seem to take this fight. Now, you got two guys that do extensive road work. That's what makes this fight interesting. But is 24/7 really can we use it as a vehicle of trying to direct our prediction or our decision? I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to say no. Why? Because Floyd Mayweather has always been a little bit, kind of a mystery, man. Or kind of a person likes to keep his regimens in secret. Can't really go off of what he's doing and stuff because that persona, we got to remember this, he created that persona. You know, this is a kid that used to be very docile in the beginning coming in out of the Olympics. You know, he was not as vocal as he is now. But when he realized, you know, I'm not getting these fights, man. I'm not getting the fights that I deserve. I'm not getting the money that I think that I need at this moment. He needed to make up this persona. And, Blood, you know what I'm talking about when we talk about this persona. You know, he had to bring out a little bit of the ghetto-ness to get those fights. And that's what 24/7 is able to reveal. They brought out something that they created or the media created, and now the media is crying about it, or even hardcore fight fans or even media casual fight fans were complaining about the way this guy presents himself. He's just doing exactly what we want.
Yeah, he's being controversial, and that sells, man. That's just part of what he created. Like you said, he created a persona to sell tickets and to put more money in his pocket. And he's created a beast, man, and you have to live by it now. So, you know, I don't really think that that's really Floyd Mayweather every day, but, you know, that's what he presents to us.
And we all have known this, Dave, too, is that Floyd doesn't beat off of everybody's drum. He has his own beat. He does his own thing. His regimen of training is really off the wall. He does things at his time and at his moment, what he feels like. And you know what? I feel that all fighters should be like that. You know, this dude goes to a club, right after the club, he puts on his running shoes, and he jogs home. He does things that are just not a norm, that's not really typical for fighters to do. A lot of fighters wake up at 4 in the morning, do the road work, come back, they rest a little bit, eat breakfast, then they do their workout a little bit, then by 1 o'clock, they'll kind of stroll into the gym and do the sparring. They have a time-set schedule. Well, Floyd Mayweather does everything just the opposite. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking 24/7 just can't keep up with this kid. You know, being able to catch up with him and everything he does. Where Juan Manuel Marquez, the schedule is a little bit more, you know, durable. You can work off that schedule. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. On top of that, I think that there's a boxer out there that could have been better than Mayweather if he didn't have lazy work ethics, and that's Zab Judah.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say Zab Judah. I knew you were going to say that, man, and you may be right about that.
I mean, if you see the match between Judah and Mayweather, it's actually a good match, and it's no secret that Judah's heart isn't in boxing. Judah does it because it's something he's good at, but everybody knows Judah's work ethic is lazy. Where you live, if Judah lives where you live, you're going to see him at the club almost every night.
You know, I agree with you, man, but... He was and he ain't here no more. You know what I mean? Well, Floyd, he's still around, and Floyd is doing what he needs to do. And that's why I say it goes back to where you may not like the way he presents himself. You know, you may not like that deck of cards that he lays on the table, but you got to respect the professionalism that this guy does bring to the table. He hasn't disrespected the sport by coming in lazy. He hasn't disrespected the sport by not training. He maybe has disrespected it by picking on smaller oppositions or oppositions that really shouldn't belong in the ring with them. But when it comes in terms of training and being 100%, 110, 120 stepping in the ring, we can't complain about that. You know what I mean? I can't complain about it.
He's done other stuff to disrespect boxing, though.
Well, yeah, other stuff, though, Strikehart. But I'm talking about, as being a professional, can you say he has disrespected the sport?
No, I mean, it depends on what your definition of professional. If being professional is
prepared for the fight. I just gave you my definition. I said him stepping in 100%. When you're going to pay for a pretty boy Floyd Mayweather, you're not paying, in all honesty, you're not paying for this guy. And then it's Virgil Hunter, which is the trainer of Andre Ward, touched on something that made so much sense. He said, there's fighters that fight off of pure guts, and there's fighters that fight off of skills. When you pay for a Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight card, you're paying for a fighter that has pure skills. Guts meaning you're not going to get a Mickey Ward or a Arturo Cotti fight. You're not going to get a Shane Mosley fight. You're not going to always get a Miguel Cotto fight from him. You're going to get a fight that's going to be a picture perfect in his mind and what he allows himself to give. And that's because his regimen and what he does to make sure that he's well prepared and that he makes sure that when he goes in there, he's got the ring generalship. So can you say that he's disrespected the sport in any way in that aspect? I'm going to have to say no.
No. But, I mean, there's some things that I think are almost unforgivable that he's done. The biggest thing I would say is fighting the Big Show on WWE, man. That's under my skin, man. That ain't never going to go away. And the fact that he's going to walk into the ring with Triple H on Saturday, are you fucking kidding me, man?
Wait,
seriously? The last thing I want to see is boxing and WWE in the same sentence, man. That irritates the hell out of me. So.
Uh-oh, I hear a video coming, guys.
Hey, man. Hey, what do you think about the undercard, man? Good undercard with some good fights, you know. Those undercard fights are pretty hard to call themselves, you know what I mean?
Let me tell you this, man. The undercard is great, but honestly, I got to say something, too. The honest truth, I'm stoked up about the fight coming up this Saturday just because it's a fight. You know, just because it's a fight card, that it gives me a reason to stay home, relax, crack open some beer, just get there, hug on a Mexican flag and stuff, because I'm a very proud Mexican American, just to be there, okay, just to enjoy. I'm not going to Vegas and stuff. I know a couple of folks from Leaving the Ring are going to go, but I'm not going. The fight that I'm really stoked up about, man, the one that I'm just like, yeah, I can't wait for this to happen, is for September 26th, Cristobal Oyala versus Vitaly Klitschko. But you want to talk about the undercard, go ahead, throw off the names and all that, and then let everybody get a chance to, you know, maybe speak their minds a little bit about that undercard.
Well, for me, the first fight is simple. We got the rematch of Chris Jean and Rocky Juarez. Rocky has gotten himself a sixth chance at the title, and Chris Jean beat him the first time. He's going to beat him again. That's an easy fight to predict. I'll be very surprised if I'm wrong about that.
Well, you may be wrong about that, because remember, Chris Jean is talking about it. He's going for the knockout. Now,
yeah.
I mean, he's got the mentality of wanting to go in for the knockout.
I wish he didn't say that.
Huh?
I wish he didn't say that. I wish he didn't mean it.
And you know what?
He did the first time.
And that's the thing that kind of worries me about him saying, I'm going to knock him out this time. I'm like, why are you going to try to fix something that was not broken from the first fight? I'll box him. Just do exactly what you're there. I mean, this guy's got a great amateur background. You know that he's a pure fighter. The guy's got a scary resume. When you look at his resume, the guy's pretty stacked. You know, he knows his business in the ring. It's his office. Why change it around, you know? And if he decides to stand and trade with Rocky Juarez, who I think is a much heavier puncher, who I think really is the guy that's stuck in the era of 15 rounders as a fighter, I'm gonna lean with Rocky Juarez. I'm gonna say Rocky knocks him out.
I think Chris Jean just said that because he's upset that there's a rematch, because there shouldn't be a rematch. It's just how ridiculous Texas is that scored that a draw. But I don't really think that Chris has to really stand there to knock him out. I think Chris is probably going to employ the same game plan he did at first, but just keep a higher work rate, sit down on the punches a little bit more. But pretty much the same game plan. He might not necessarily mean, oh, I'm just going to go across the ring and exchange toe-to-toe, see who goes down first. You know, there's a lot of ways to knock out somebody, so, you know, I think he's going to go in there with the same game plan, just
now,
up you a few things.
Now, Dave,
game.
If he sits down and trade with Rocky, yeah, anything can happen. But ideally, say he fights the fight the best way he can, that he's capable of, that he has shown us that he's capable of doing. If he fights that fight, would you think that he has a very good chance of winning?
You know, if this is what's going to leave it down to it with Chris Jean. Have we ever seen Chris Jean sit on his punches? Have we ever seen Chris Jean go for a gutsy win? No. Have we seen Chris Jean keep ring generalship? Have we seen him be a pure boxer? Yes. A lot of times it's really hard for a guy that's been a pure boxer that will decide to sit on his punches and trade a little bit. That's very rare in the game to be seen. Now, if he does decide to do it, he may find out after the second or third round, this is not a good game plan. I may have to revert back down to what has been my bread and butter. Now, being that it might be two or three or four rounds that he figures that out, it may be a little too late, because when you do stand and trade, you do end up, you know, flattening a little bit of those tires that are on your feet, where it doesn't allow you to have that movement, that maneuver to get away from the punches that are coming towards you. Because for some reason, your body would gradually just kind of, you know, magnet back into that fight. So I say, you go in there with that mentality and thinking you may win, I'm still going to have to say Juarez is going to just, he'll be able to break him down a little bit too soon. We've seen Juarez get cut before. We've seen him take a lot of shots and punishments, you know, in other previous fights. So when it comes to being a gutsy, a durable fighter, you got to go with Rocky.
I hear you, man. Well, I think the fight, and a lot of fight fans feel this way, the fight that's going to take the show is Michael Casillas and Vicente Escobedo.
That fight right there, man. You know what? Vicente Escobedo, first off, is a good prospect. Guy coming down over, he's close over here from Sacramento. What is it, Chris, that he's from? Woodlands? Is that the right place?
I believe so.
Woodlands, California, which is really close to Sactown. You know, this is a guy that has been trained by Nacho Bernstein, a guy that's got a lot of potential, but maybe taking a little bit too much flights of stairs to step in the ring with a Michael Casillas, because Michael Casillas has been in the big stage. Michael Casillas has been at those pinnacles of trying to find greatness as a fighter at the moment, where Vicente is still trying to figure out, man, is it his peak? Is it his timing? Is it his moment? And by stepping in with a Michael Casillas, who's been there, man, who's been cut, who's been had to kind of, you know, kind of wiggle through the grasses, you know, of the fight game, he may find out what Michael Chiesa is, that this guy is a dugout warrior. This guy is in the trenches. This guy may pop out and be a little bit too much. His spear may be a little bit too sharp where it make him fold back. So I'm going to go with Michael Chiesa. I think Michael Chiesa has got the goods. I think he's got the guns. I think his guns are still loaded. And I think that when it comes to pop for pop, the pop is going to be a lot louder with Michael Chiesa. With Vicente Escobedo, you're going to hear a little firecracker. With, you know, Chiesa, you're going to hear the M80. Who got Vicente Escobedo?
I'll take him. I'll take him by decision just because I think he's technically sharper. Casitas is, I mean, if we get the Casitas that fought Casamayor before he got caught, then I could see him winning. The thing is, Escobedo, he had a little bit of, I don't know, psychological issues after he had his first loss. He just didn't have his head in there, and he hasn't looked as impressive as people have thought he would. But I don't know, man. I think Casitas has got more heart. I think he's got more power. But I think Escobedo, if he just fights smart, you know what I'm saying, fights a smart, playing the sticks to, you know, just boxing, I could see him pulling out a decision. It should be the fight of the night, though, like David Chen says. One thing real quick before the show's over, though, just want to remind people listening and everyone on the panel, tomorrow night, Friday night fights, the Cubans are fighting, and tomorrow night on Showtime, former guest of the show, Travis Kaufman, is going to be fighting on Showbox.
That's right, he is. He's going to be on Showbox, a heavyweight that was Travis Kaufman, who, you know, his PR did call me up and said, can we have him back on the show? It's just been real crazy. Like I said, I've been working some mad crazy hours, but it's the end of that, trying to get things back on track. You know, we're trying to get things organized. We got Rob Riller's twin, Jesse Rican. We found him out there in the streets, and he needed a home, so he brought him in to Leaving the Ring. So, you know, we got to welcome our new man that's part of the family here of Leaving the Ring. And, it, you know, man, it's always great. It's always a pleasure. You know, we do Leave it in the Ring just for the hardcore fight fans, you know. You know, we get a lot of people that call us and ask us particular questions or, you know, want to know about this and that or just want to talk boxing, you know. And that's what I like to do. I just like talking about boxing. I'm not one of the kind of guys that are just going to be praising a fighter because of their nationality, their creed, their religion. I praise a guy when he makes a compliment after his career. After his career, that's when I praise a man. I don't praise him when he's still in the mix of his career. And I think that's always been the downfall of a lot of casual fight fans. They praise a man for what they're doing at the moment. You should praise him after he's done. Let's see what he's done completely. I want to see the painted picture when it's completed. I'm not going to pay for a half-done picture.
Absolutely.
All right, brother. So the next time, man, is your boy, your host, 97 Rough Blood. You got my co-host, Blood, a.k.a. Iron Lung, a.k.a. Marlon Jordan. You got Strike Hard. If it isn't boxing, I don't care. You got Chris 916 out of Sacktown. You know, our MMA, the man that covers MMA, the man that's a encyclopedia for MMA. You got the only man that can do the switchboard from the bathroom, Mr. David Chan, who to thank sports writer for Solarplex Promotions and Stand and Fight, and There Will Be Blood. You got our new guy, Jesse Rican, and, you know, shout-outs to my boy Machine Gun Red that's always handling the behind-the-scenes for us. Shout-outs to my girl Serafina, who's always handling the behind-the-scenes for us. You know, and shout-out to everybody else, man, that always shows love. Tom, always a pleasure when you call in, brother. I know you got Marquez. And let's not forget, nobody forget, we got our whole Blood and Rob Riddler on this piss bet. They got this bet going on. So if anybody wants them, I'm going to drop a video about it because this has got to happen. Somebody's got to drink some piss after the fight. After that fight is done, I'm talking about 5-10 minutes after Rob Riddler or, you know, Blood. This has got to be up. I got to see this piss trick, man.
Rob,
check this out. And if it happens to you, I'm even generous to say, have a lime. Why not? Make it look like it's a shot. anyways, brother, I'm out. Till next week, we're going to have some other people. We're going to try to get some other folks on. I know Jesse Rican's trying to set it up. We're having Hector Camacho Jr. and possibly maybe even get Fernando Vargas on the line with us. So maybe they can have some exchange of words because I heard they had a little bit of exchange at one of his fights that he was promoting. I don't know. Maybe we can get him down in the mix. If not, possibility of getting Daniel Santos out of Puerto Rico on the show. We never know. We'll find out until next week. So anyways, I'm your host. This is your boys from Leave It in the Ring, the WillBeBloodFightShow.com. You know, and if you stand and fight.
Take care, everybody.
Peace.
Leave It in the Ring.
Radio.
Go ahead. Who's this?
Yo, David Chang.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave It in the Ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed. Along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao, selling out.
Leave It in the Ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment. But there is a chat room, and if you look on there, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can.